Before we proceed with our program, I would like to inform on more members that we have the JNC's annual report, January to November 2006. If you do not have any other final copies, please inform the lead one, the committee clerk. Please, I'd like to go through this because I'd like us to approve it annual report next week, please, members. That's the annual report. That is for next week. That is for one another. We will wait for all members to sit down, that's fine. It's a visual distraction for me, Reverend Garney. It's not the audio distraction, it's a visual distraction. And I want to say finally and hallelujah that we've got a researcher for this committee, people. This is the ANC researcher, by the way. She is for the ANC, but she will assist us in this committee. I do believe that Parliament is in the process of appointing a researcher. I won't mention any names, but I do want to welcome the ANC researcher to our committee, your first meeting. So if you could just give me with your name and details, to the next. Beautiful.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pumla Kandela. Before, I used to research for the Roots Committee, and then they deployed me to this committee. Before I went to Parliament, I used to be a researcher as well for the Human Rights Commission, and then I joined Parliament in 2005. Thank you.
Welcome to you, and I'm happy that you will be part of this committee and you'll be staying with us because we need a researcher and not be deployed somewhere else. So thank you to you and welcome. Okay, as I said, welcome to all of you here present today, honorable members, and those who are visiting us for the first time. Today we have the Office on the Status of Disabled People, and we have the ORC, the Office on the Rights of Children, here to do their presentation to us. We will be having the Office on the Rights of Children first, Mrs. Rantu. Welcome to you. And your briefing, members, documents in front of you, there are three documents from the ORC. The one is Monitoring and Evaluation of Children's Rights. The government, delivery in governance, and then the next one is mainstreaming of child-centered governance approach, and then the third one is capacity building for children's rights, mainstreaming in government. I hope you all have these three documents in front of you. If you do not, the committee clerk will have copies here. Please inform my chief, we'll give you all copies. We then have one more document. Is this the ORC? Oh, OSDP. That can wait. That document can wait for the next presentation. As I said, the ORC has done three documents. I will now hand over to Mrs. Rantla, if you can then lead you to your presentation. Thank you very much.
Good morning, honorable members. Here we should have three documents, as well as different documents from the ORC. The two other documents we should have received from the ORC are the ORC strategic plan, the sectoral, children's rights sectoral strategic plan, and lastly the sectoral performance target for host 708. And I know my
secretary sent the information. Sorry, can you just repeat those documents again for us, please? Thank you.
The Children's Rights Sectoral Strategy Plan, the ORC Strategy Plan, which is different from that, and the electoral performance targets for all 7 OAs.
Mrs. Ramla, this is holding. There are 3 outstanding documents. Have you received those documents, please? Because the previous document that was made by Mrs. Rantlana. So the performance target one and those ones, you receive those ones, please, so that members can give copies of those, please. I can find that and pull that out then, please. Thank you, we'll pull that out. So that make sure that it is emailed to your office and an email and given to members, please. Needs to be printed out, please, and we'll pull that out. Thank you.
We were instructed to brief the Joint Monitoring Committee on rumors. ORC was instructed to brief the Joint Monitoring Committee on our strategy and budget plan for 2007-2008. And our presentation will focus on that. Chairperson, I have presented PowerPoint thing, but we don't have the data projector. So I will read from my PowerPoint for the presentation, and it will also be the copy of the electronic version with your office. We thought a good place to start in terms of talking about the ORC strategy would be to look at what happened in the sector at the annual performance planning meeting this year. In our third annual sectoral performance evaluation and planning meeting this year, we looked at why it is not possible for us as a country to easily consolidate information and report to the nation on children's rights delivery. And we then realized that the reason that it's difficult for us is because we do not have systems at all spheres of government that enable us to capture information accurately from municipalities right through to the national level. And therefore, our reports up until now have tended not to be fully accommodating of all the information with regard to children's rights delivery in the country and all spheres of government, especially also when it comes to civil society. Civil society is doing a lot in terms of children's rights delivery by themselves and sometimes in partnership with government, but we lose that information because we do not have systems. So our performance evaluation process therefore agreed that what we need to do is to put those systems in place. In fact, we left that meeting having agreed on guidelines for performance evaluation in the sector, and those guidelines tell us what to do at the municipality level, what to do at provincial level, how we consolidate as we move forward, and how we finally consolidate at national level. So those guidelines have been agreed. We also agreed at the Children's Rights Sectoral Performance Evaluation Meeting that our annual sectoral meetings for evaluation should focus on 3 things. When we say we are evaluating on an annual basis, we will focus on 3 things in those annual meetings. We will focus on government or institutional children's rights framework, systems, and tools. We will ask ourselves whether at the 3 spheres of government, we do have our government systems are aligned to children's rights delivery aspirations, and our institutional frameworks are also aligned, and we also ask ourselves whether we do have tools to enable ourselves to do the work that we must do within children's sector at the 3 spheres of government. The second thing that we will focus on in our evaluation and care agreement in that meeting is service delivery. We will look at how exactly service delivery delivers on the constitutional mandate. And lastly, in those meetings, we will also look at planning for the new year, which we have been doing in the past
in 2 years when we started out with the annual sectoral security management and training mission. So that's the front, those will be the key outputs of our security evaluation and planning meeting this year. We also realized that within our evaluation process, it is important to also look at on how we are doing as a country in terms of regional and international obligations, South Africa's international obligations on children's rights. So our performance evaluation on an annual basis, we look at all those kinds of areas. The meeting also agreed on a sectoral strategy. Because up until now, when ORC comes to Parliament to report, when we are requested to present a strategy of the ORC, we focus just on ORC, not on the National Children's Rights Program. And yet ORC works both with the National Children's Rights Program, and it also has its own specific responsibilities as a structure within the National Children's Rights Program framework. So today, Chairperson, we thought we should look at first the sectoral strategic plan, and then within that context, look at the ORC strategic plan. Now, because I was going to refer us to page 4 of the document of the sectoral strategic plan, because we have not been able to distribute the report, the strategic plan, I think I will skip to page 4 and speak to the broad vision and mission of the national, the sectoral strategic plan. In terms of our agreement in the national performance evaluation meeting as a sector, we agreed that our broad vision as the National Children's Rights Program, broad vision and mission is to build a united, non-racial, non-sexist, democratic and prosperous society of Africa through our work in the children's rights sector. If you look at that broad vision and mission, it is aligned to what we have in the Constitution of South Africa as a preamble, which says this is what we as a South African society want to achieve. So the children's sector acknowledges that, but we say we are going to do that work within our sector. And we believe towards building a prosperous South Africa, the sector's contributions are the following. We need to deliver as a sector on the constitutional mandate of children's rights. Secondly, we need to deliver also on regional and international children's rights obligations. That would be part of our responsibility in terms of building a prosperous South Africa. Secondly, our contribution as a sector would be to mainstream children's rights in national priorities, in government and civil society governance and business processes. So that's what we also have to do as a sector. And lastly, as a sector, we believe our responsibility is to account on children's rights delivery in the country. Lastly, Chairperson, we believe that within the sector towards building a prosperous nation and also to deliver on children's rights, it is important for us to establish public-private partnerships within the children's rights sector. Integrated policy implementation and action is also another area that we believe is very important for us to look at in terms of making certain that our sector does contribute to building a united South Africa. The sectoral vision and mission in terms of children's rights is that we say our vision as a national children's rights program is to see someday sustainable national efficiency for the protection and development of children in South Africa. We also said our mission as a sector is to provide strategic support to parents, to children, organs of civil society, and government for the realization of South Africa's constitutional, regional, and international mandate. So those are the broad vision and mission of the sector, and we taking from that sector, it then makes it easy for us as component part of the International Children's Rights Program to then take from that and streamline for our own, in line with our own core functions as the different component parts of the National Children's Rights Program. The sector also agrees that our strategic objectives as a sector are the following for the strategic objectives for this year are the following. That we need to strengthen national children's rights capabilities at all tiers of society. And when we say strengthen children's rights capabilities at the different tiers of society, we refer to strengthen our capabilities as a country in terms of mainstreaming children's rights activities and children and mainstreaming the rights of children. We need strengthening mainstreaming of a care-centered governance and business approach in our society. We also talk about monitoring and evaluation of children's rights delivery. We also talk of coordination of children's rights activities in South Africa, especially integrated policy implementation. Our other strategic objective is continuous improvement of public access to children's rights information. Fourthly, to strengthen citizenship and character building initiatives in children, among children in South Africa. Fifthly, to accelerate delivery by advancing integrated implementation of children's rights policies. Sixth, to ensure that opportunities inherent in the work of the economy, international relations and GA cluster, governance and administration cluster, strengthen child protection and development in South Africa. And lastly, the sector agrees that we will facilitate and we need to facilitate and support regional and international children's rights initiatives within the South African context. The overview of our 3-year sectoral strategy plan is as follows. We say as a sector in 2007-2008, what we will do, our strategic objective, in this year, broad strategic objective, is to consolidate our national children's rights capabilities to advance delivery of the constitutional mandate. That's our broad strategy for this year. Our measurable objective in line with that is to strengthen children's rights leadership and capabilities in the children's rights sector. Our indicators, if we all do this and do it well at the 3 years of government, our indicators will be at the end of the year, what we will see is a SALSA partnership with the National Children's Rights Program. Now SALSA is important because we agreed as a sector to concentrate this year quite heavily on working municipalities. So SALSA becomes important. Our other indicators be effective and efficient children's rights structures at all tiers of society. Ultimately, we will also see civil society lead organizations at national and provincial levels. At this point in time in the country, as we all know, we have very capable civil society, organs of civil society, especially NGOs, working in the area of children. But most of the time, we do not see civil society speaking in one voice around different issues. So we are saying we need to start facilitating a process or processes that will lead us to that situation or position where civil society at municipality level, at municipality levels, are able to get together, take a position on issues, and then be able to advise government at that level accordingly. The same to apply at provincial level and the same to apply at national level. And we also hope to see if our strategy, if we do well and work hard around our sectoral strategy, an activated comprehensive sectoral monitoring and evaluation system. That's what we hope to achieve in 2007, along with the fact that for the first time we are hoping this year, at the end of this year, meaning March 2008, that we will, for the first time, see children's rights delivery reports from municipalities in provinces, and at national level. We do occasionally, we do at national level produce annual report on children's rights, but like I said earlier on, it is not as fully informed as it should be by information from the other spheres of government. So we are saying moving forward, we hope to see an improvement on that, so that our annual children's rights report are informed and populated also by information from municipalities and provinces. In 2008-09, our strategic objective, we said as a sector in that year, would be to consolidate sectoral gains over the 15 years of our democracy. We will also in that context look at our challenges and propose improvement strategies, because we believe since in 2009, we are going to have a new administration, government administration. It would be important to then hand over to the new government administration a report that says, this is who we are as a sector, this is where we come from, this is where we are at, and this is where we are hoping to go. So that the new president, the new or government when it comes in, the new joint portfolio committee at that point would have a point of departure in terms of how we move forward as a country with regards to work in children's rights. Obviously, the handover report to the Joint Monitoring Committee at that point around 2009 would have to be done by OFC through the current Joint Portfolio Committee when it hands over to its successor. Our measurable objectives in terms of that is to strengthen leadership, facilitating coordination and oversighting organs of civil society, and at the same time to conduct an exercise that pulls in information with regard to our achievements as a nation since we started in 1994. So then that exercise is what is going to give us our handover report to the new administration. If we do well in that area, our indicator should be indeed a comprehensive handover report to the new government administration and also to the new Joint Monitoring Committee. In 2009 to 2010, as a sector, we are saying our strategic objective would be to strengthen the advancement of delivery on the constitutional mandate, or advance delivery on the constitutional mandate. Our measurable objectives in that year being to enhance mainstreaming of human rights issues in government and business processes in government and key organs of civil society. As a country, we have done very well in the sector in terms of initiating and working hard around mainstreaming children's rights in government processes. But as a country, we have done very little in terms of in the sector, in terms of making certain that key organs of civil society also mainstream children's rights issues in their business processes, in their business initiatives. So we are saying we cannot transform the South African society by only doing transformation within government, within the sector. We also have to do transformation in civil society. And this is what beginning now we are doing as a sector, but we hope in 2009 and 2010 we will begin to consolidate in terms of that and see the difference that our efforts beginning from now in that year would have achieved. Our indicators, we believe, at that point in time, if we do that and do it well, would be policies, if you wish, or guidelines or operational principles in civil society, in municipalities, in provinces, and in departments. That translates into operational or business plans which have specific protection and development measures. So we are hoping by 2010 we will begin to see that in our key organs of civil society. Already in government, I think the signs are there. We are doing very well. We just need to strengthen our capabilities and strengthen our resolve to achieve in that context. our resource plan as a sector, we thought also as a sector within our strategy plan, we are referring to resources to say all these commitments we are putting in our strategy plan, how exactly are they going to be funded, who is going to be doing what. Our conclusion in the sector was that, in the meeting was that, implementation resources for the strategy that we have left out will naturally be factored into budgeting systems of the various component parts of the children's rights sector in South Africa, because then within that context, ORC would budget for what it must, for its responsibility, the department would budget for their responsibilities, municipalities and civil society as well. When it comes to civil society, the meeting then also agreed that departments and ORCs as a three tiers of government have a responsibility to assist in mobilizing resources for partner civil society organizations in the National Children's Rights Council. It is common knowledge that our civil society, once they do so much good work in the country, are forever struggling for resources. And this is why we believe ORCs and government departments and the three tiers of government have a responsibility to do the best they can to support mobilization of resources for the organs of civil society in the sector. We have also here, Chairperson, performance targets for 2007-08 that were agreed in the sectoral, annual sectoral planning meeting. I think because we don't have a copy of this, I can't go into detail on the performance sectoral performance target. But what I can mention, and I'm hoping that my office and your chairperson will sort that quickly out and then share this information with the members, honorable members. What we have in that document, I have a copy, maybe can be
just a copy of that thin document, those few pages.
Yes, I think it's 3 pages.
Can I ask the committee to make us copies of that quickly so that honorable Chalmers?
I was going to say it's so difficult to really bring one's mind to what has been said when we don't have any documentation. I mean, once again, it just seems like a wish list, you know, from what the notes I've been taking, and it's very difficult to bring some critical faculty to bear when we have nothing in front of us and nothing to look at. And I'm not quite sure why we didn't get that.
I requested the committee section a week before the time to get all the documentation ready. I do not know why this happened. I also need to read these documents beforehand. I can't see the interpreter and read the documents at the same time. I hope that the issue will sort this out. My apologies that the documents were not ready for this meeting. In the future, please make sure that the meeting do get the members do get the correct documents before the meeting in order for them to prepare for the decision. If you can quickly make a copy of that document, that we can go ahead with it, and then
I do agree with the honourable member that it is very difficult to follow without. I'm actually struggling myself to make it very easy, but I know without visual at least capability, it is difficult to understand some of the things, or to follow some of the things that I'm saying. So we can we are doing two things. I'm presenting and we are fixing for as I
said.
within that context, Captain, in the context of the sectoral strategy plan, which is a very broad strategy, our agreement as a sector was that that strategy, that framework, gives us all of us component parts of the National Children's Rights Program. And when we talk about component parts of the National Children's Rights Program, we are referring to the presidency as the Minister Fahad and the ORC and our responsibility within the National Children's Rights Program. We are referring to the National Children's Rights Advisory Council, which is composed of organs of civil society and government structures, referring to departmental service delivery units around children's rights, and also their partner organizations, civil society organizations. We're also referring to the provincial ORC and to their partner civil society organizations. And at the three tiers of government, we are also talking about SALGA as partner of the ORCs and the offices of premiers in terms of children's rights delivery. We are also talking about the provincial children's rights advisory council, the offices of mayors and their children's rights desks or ORCs, and also their partner organizations as in civil society. And also we are talking about the municipality children's rights advisory council, along also with children's structures of children themselves and all spheres of government, because we believe that children form a very important part of the National Children's Rights Program. But also we believe that up until now as a country we have been focusing on children and focusing less on parents. So we are saying moving forward we need to do our best to make certain that we consolidate parental input into national children's rights processes. Within that context, therefore, the vision of the ORC, now coming to the ORC strategic plan, the vision of the ORC is based on the vision of the presidency. The vision of the presidency is, ultimately, as a country, we want to see in the presidency excellence in governance for a better life for all. And basing our vision on that, because we are a component part also as ORC of the presidency, our vision as the Office on the Rights of the Child is excellence in delivery on the constitutional mandate to ensure a better life for all children. So it relates to the presidency's vision, so that at the end of the day, when the presidency reports in terms of what it has been doing and what it is achieving, ORC is able to also say within the children's rights sector, this is the contribution that the office and its sector and the sector has made towards making a better life for all in South Africa. Our mission in the ORC, in the presidency, is leadership, development, and management of the strategic agenda of government. So that's what the mission of the presidency is. And based on that, the mission of the ORC is leadership, development, and management of the children's rights strategic agenda of government. So that in that way, we are aligned to what is happening in the presidency and are also able to draw from the support systems that are in the presidency to achieve along with the National Children's Rights Program. The ORC strategic objective, also based on the strategic objectives of the presidency, is to strengthen strategic children's rights capabilities in ORCs and children's rights focal points at national, provincial, and municipality level. Our second strategic objective is to improve public access to children's rights information and resources through line banking departments. Our third strategic objective is to coordinate, monitor, evaluate, and communicate government policies and programs Most our monitoring and coordination happens within the government sector. Our fourth strategic objective is to enhance integrated children's rights approach to governance and service delivery processes. Fifthly, we facilitate nation building through the National Children's Rights Program to give effect and impetus to people's contracts. We also support, develop, and consolidate children's rights initiatives, working with the AU and also working with the UN. And lastly, we have a responsibility as the ORC to contextualize the National Children's Rights Program within the developmental stage that South Africa is. So those are our broad strategic and ORC strategic objectives in terms of the strategy plan of the ORC. Strategic objective as was developed in 2004, and since then we have been revising it on an annual basis to make certain that we move with the developments in the sector and in the presidency and in the work that we do, so that on an annual basis we get together again to revise the 5-year strategy plan, and that's how we have been doing it since 2004. This strategy has previously been shared with the portfolio committee, so I will not go through the detail of 2004, 05, 06. I think I will focus on our strategic plan for 07-08. In terms of the year to our current year, as the ORC, we are saying our measurable objective this year is simultaneous children's rights facilitation, coordination, and oversight in government and civil society. This is where we are saying, as the ORC, the agreement that we have with the National Children's Rights Committee and NGO, for them to mainstream children's rights in key organs of society, we are activating that partnership this year. So, to a very large extent this year, we will be focusing on two things: children's rights mainstreaming in civil society, and also strengthening municipality in terms of children's rights deliver. Those are the key areas of our activities this year. Last year, we were able to start out the municipality process with Minister Fahad when we visited all the municipalities in the country, and the municipalities were addressed by Minister in terms of the importance of mainstreaming children's rights in governance processes in IDPs, and also in programs of the IDP, and also in monitoring of IDP programs. This year what we are then doing is making certain that, on a follow-up to that exercise, that individual municipalities are identifying dedicated people to work on children's rights in partnership with provincial ORCs and the national ORCs. So it's a lot of work. We have a lot of municipalities in the country, but that's what we are focusing on this year heavily. And our performance target as ORC now in relation to that is that by the end of this year, 2008 March, we should have in at least every district municipality a children's rights dedicated person who will assist us to do the work that we must do in municipalities as a nation. Our indicators, if we do that well in terms of the making of children's rights in civil society, is indeed to see organs of civil society, a demonstration of organs of civil society, where they have mainstream children's rights issues within their processes. And that is heavily, most of the work that will be done by National Children's Rights Committee in partnership with OASC, but they will be driving the civil society, and we will continue as OASC to work within government. Next year, again, which is our fourth year in terms of our 5-year strategy plan, our last year in terms of our 5-year strategy plan, OASC will then be leading the process to consolidate all the information in terms of the achievements of the National Children's Rights Program this year, over the past 15 years, as I said earlier on, and then to prepare a handover report, if you wish, for the new administration when it does come into place in 2009. So between this year and next year, our work will be really, this year's work will be really in civil society heavily, and our work this year will also be in municipalities, and next year we'll be consolidating all that information in preparation for handover to the new administration. So just as in terms of our ORC strategy, that is what we are hoping to do. The detail is in the document that I had hoped your office had received, because I do know that we sent the report, the documents on Wednesday. It was already late, but we did send them on Wednesday. ORC's budget, which is the one area that we were requested to also focus on, we send the budget. I think the three documents that Chairperson referred to from the ORC do have some form of budget. And it also looking at the honorable member there, that we, is it the same document that you had, honorable member?
No, one document.
Three separate documents.
What is the type of new document that you have there?
I think it is the same document, mainstreaming, but this was the updated version. I guess what you have is probably not the updated version, but it must have the same information. Let's go through and see if it's the same document. Okay. In terms of the budget for children's rights,
documents as well. So
Mrs. Rangla, the three documents that I have now explained to you, ejected documents, is a completely different to the document that you have in your hand at the moment. Is it the same?
No change to thing.
It's the same document. Okay, so it's the same document. So are you going to take us through that document which we all have?
Should I bring
this
back to you,
sir? You need, Linda, I have those copies here, so I will take two copies, so I do have in front of me.
We all
have
these things. Sir, I think we must really apologize for the mess up in documentation. We will do better next time. For monitoring and evaluation, the overseas budget for this year, the total budget is 3,781,000 rand. That amount of money is going to be spent on the core functions, on activities in the core functions, three core functions of ORC. Our first core function being mainstreaming of a child-centered governance approach. And within that context, we will see that this year, mainstreaming will focus on strengthening service delivery at the 3 tiers of government specifically and municipalities as I indicated. The activities that we will be engaged in that exercise is going countrywide to municipalities to negotiate for children's rights desks in municipalities as I had indicated. And we will then, once we have agreed with municipalities, we will then train identified people on children's rights mainstreaming, coordination and monitoring and evaluation so that they go into their work understanding their responsibilities and having some capabilities in terms of what they are expected to do in that area. We will also be sharing with them the children's rights delivery guide for municipalities because that is the tool that they will use to do what they must do in municipalities. So our work will focus a lot on that, and we have budgeted for that particular exercise around 60,000 rand because all we pay for in those meetings is documentation, and we also pay for catering. But travel to the meetings tend to be taken care of by municipalities themselves. At least from our experience last year, that is what happened. In that area also, we will, within mainstreaming, we are going to spend our money, the funds that has been allocated for children's rights work in the presidency, on providing support to individual children's rights offices or desks in municipalities. This is where the bulk of the work actually comes in, because we find individual municipalities calling us every so often to come and assist with this and that. And that's the work that we do in partnership with ORCs in the provinces. Chairperson, I think the budget of 60,000 rand that I spoke about should be added to the budget of 320,000 rand that is also budgeted for within that context, so that it's actually a bigger amount of money. As the detail is in the document, as we know. In terms of children's rights facilitation, and accountability factors in civil society. We will be doing a lot of work with NCRC in terms of making certain that our understanding is aligned around children's rights mainstreaming, that our tools are also aligned, whereas our tools and overseas around the work that we do in government are government focused. And we will, our responsibility is also to support NCRC to use those tools, but contextualize them for civil society, because they work in civil society, we work in government. So that's the amount, that's the work that we will be doing in that context. We also hope this year, within the mainstreaming program, to do a lot of work around mainstreaming children's rights issues in processes of ADVISA. Here we see a whole lot of initiatives by ADVISA, and our responsibility is then to say, how do these initiatives begin to strengthen economic development in the country by, for an example, familiarizing children with knowledge around running a business? What do we do as a country to say, how do we build entrepreneurial knowledge from this stage already within our children sector, children themselves, among children themselves? And this is where we are going to partner with the Department of Education, because children are mostly in schools, and we are hoping to see how we can use existing systems in the Department of Education to promote entrepreneurial skills among our children. We are also developing or finalizing now the National Children's Rights Policy Framework, which should be printed and shared with the whole sector. We are going to spend a lot of money in that area, producing and printing and distributing and also popularizing that document. OMC has also observed that it is very difficult when some people ask us, require information on children's rights policies and legislation in the country. We don't have a document that we can easily put on the table and say, this is what as a country we have as children's rights legislation and policies. We always have to run to different departments for that information. So we are consolidating that information in ORC, and we will spend money producing that particular information too. In terms of mainstreaming, that's the work that we will be focusing on. I think the bulk of our funds in the ORC will be spent in civil society, as I said, and also in municipalities this year. Capacity building, we have to train this year on the, as I said, to do two things. The children's rights dedicated people that we have been identified by municipalities must be trained, as I said earlier on. But ORC has also a three-year plan to train ORCs and departmental children's rights focal points on mainstreaming, coordination, policy analysis, and monitoring and evaluation of children's rights. We did first year training, we did second year training, and we've reported to committee on this. This year we are doing the advanced training for all the ORCs and the municipalities and the 3 years of government. So that's what this year we will spend the bulk of our money doing in the capacity building program. Again, we will spend quite a lot of our resources this year providing support again to municipality ORCs. Unlike the provincial ORCs, municipality ORCs are coming into the National Children's Rights Project for the first time, and we find they need more support than we must give to provincial overseas. In fact, provincial overseas, we work with provincial overseas to support municipal overseas, but we have to work together. We have also produced the ORC Children's Rights Advocacy Framework. This is where, as the office, when we identify performance gaps in the different departments, our responsibility is to go to those departments and to identify performance gaps and also at the same time suggest improvement strategies. Then we negotiate those with the department, but ultimately agree on some improvement strategies. Now, to do that takes for us the success. We must analyze the gaps, analyze our observations, and make certain that when we go to the department, we have full information. We are able to support our proposals with evidence-based information. So we will be spending money there for doing, sometimes getting technical support to do that analysis and to compile proposals for that we are going to negotiate with departments. We also find that within the you will find certainly in this context also we have the National Children's Day and the National Day of the African Child, simply because the deputy director in the office who focuses on capacity building also focuses on these two, has also the responsibility for these two advances, otherwise they don't belong within capacity building. But we do see that as capacity building for children themselves, whatever we do in the National Children's Day program and also in the Day of the African Child, we see as capacity building not for government but for children themselves. And like for instance, on an annual basis, the children write an essay. The children's rights and responsibilities essays competition happens countrywide, where children must talk about children's rights, their understanding of rights and responsibilities in relation to a particular issue. The first year we looked at the issue of national symbols, to say, as a South African, what rights are related to national symbols for children and what are our responsibilities in that. Last year we looked at the indigenous games, to say within that context, what are the rights of the child and the responsibilities of the child. We also looked at proactive medical examination for children, and to say within that context, what are the rights and responsibilities of the child. So this is why we find the days, these two, a budget for the 2 days also located within this context. And this, we spend a lot of money both on the Day of the African Child and the National Children's Day. Our budget for those two events this year is 1.5 million, because this is where children from all parts of the country come together and to do work together as children themselves. Under monitoring and evaluation, this year we will be focusing on developing finalizing our comprehensive children's rights monitoring and evaluation system, and a lot of money is going to be spent in that particular exercise, because we need to make it an electronic system so that we are able to capture information from the municipalities right through to national level quite readily. The elements of our comprehensive children's rights M&E system are as follows. we need within that context to be able to report as quickly as we can on delivery on the constitutional mandate. That those would be elements of a comprehensive national sectoral MNE framework. It will speak to national constitutional requirements. It will speak to national priorities, how we do as a country within national priorities around children's rights delivery. It will also speak to the AU, South Africa's AU obligations. It will speak to South Africa's UN obligations, and it will speak to South Africa's obligations to the Millennium and Development Goals. So that is what will create our comprehensive MNE system in the children's rights sector. We also this year we are conducting a situation analysis in partnership with UNICEF on the status of children in South Africa. So some of our resources will be spent in that particular exercise. And in coordination of children's rights activities also, because when you evaluate, within the monitoring and evaluation process, we find we do a whole lot of coordination because we have to pull information from different parts of the National Children's Rights Program. So coordination happens also there, but also coordination in a different fashion, in the sense that it is within this context where we organize the annual sectoral performance evaluation and planning meeting, because it's part of our monitoring and evaluation process. We also find within that context that there are a lot of meetings that we have to attend in provinces, in departments, also in municipalities. This year, Chair, we have also agreed as ORC that we are going to continue to do our work around accounting on South Africa's obligations to the AU and the UN, and as a result, we are starting out with a report that must go to the AU in terms of children's rights delivery. South Africa's first report to the AU. Our first report to the UN, United Nations Committee on the Rights of the Child, also must go out this year by December. So those are the two key reports this year that we are compiling for the sector with the sector. So, the budget under all those three core functions pulls together. Is what gives us the overall total budget of 3.7 million. Actually, within this budget, Chair, ORC had the total budget of ORC's expenditure plan was 3.8, but the allocation that has been given to ORC by presidency is 3.7, so we have to go back as ORC to adjust and make sure that we align with the 3.7 budget, because the 3.8, we did not get complete 3.8 from the presidency. When my presentation ends, I am so sorry that it was so difficult to do this because we did not have the right documents. And I'm hoping next time we come here, we'll do that. Thank you.
Thanks for your presentation. Yes, it's a pity that you didn't receive all the full documentation that we needed to engage with you, especially on this matter. But I'm going to open this meeting now for questions to the honourable members. And I want to say that, yeah, I looked at your budget, they got 3.8 million, the total of your budget, and I thought I was wrong when you said 3.7. But my question is that with your discussions with the presidency, that you, are you going to receive 3.8 or are you only going to adjust that fit into the 3.7 allocation? And then my next question is that regarding the mainstream of the child-centered governance approach, on that first date and then is it only 1,000? Why so little for this on the second phase? Because it is 1,000 rand, it's only for the planning, the travelling and documentation and communication. And this is for the telco presentation on all those spheres of government. Is it only 1,000 rand? I think it's very little. Maybe if you can give us an explanation of that. I have other questions, but I will keep it for a later stage. I'm giving now over to the honourable members to ask questions, and then honourable member Bongani.
Hello, thank you very much. I just want to welcome the presentation from the office. Chairperson, I feel that I must raise this issue. Well, I must raise the issue that I don't think in the only community that is facing this crisis of the technology of Parliament. Other than the question of documentation that are upside down, but also technology of Parliament is making us to be not well, you know, abreast with issues. And it is making our work to be very, very difficult. I mean, we can't work like this, as if we are living in 1960. You see? So it could be easy to conceive something and then we can write down. That is the first thing. And I think it must be taken up. Even these systems that we are using, they just break and not be able to be audible, and then it's not registered what we are talking about. Because some of the issues that we discussed here were speaking to the nation, and if, you know, the whole system is upside down, it's closed. I'm not going to be able to do that. So that is the truth. For issues presented, Shepherd, I want to raise one issue, not one that many. The first one is the issue of vision of this office. When the presentation was taking place, I saw that there are two visions. There are two missions. There are two strategy objectives. And I don't understand why. I will make an example. The first strategy, or the first vision that we were told about was to build a united non-racial, non-sexist, and democratic South Africa or country through our work in children's rights. The second vision, which I did not finish when I was writing, is to strengthen, is to what was excellence in government for a better life for all children because of what the vision of the president says. So I'm not sure which one are we supposed to take because those are children. It might be also the mission, because you also went into a mission and also in the strategic communication. That is the first thing that I wanted to have an explanation on. The second one is on the question of that we do not easily consolidate information on children or children's rights. That is a lack of systems in government. Why is that problem? What makes that problem? Given that, I mean, the systems in our government are becoming advanced, and that is why other sectors, they are successful in terms of gathering information and sustain or keep that information. So why is this a problem in this process? The third question is on relations. Because there are institutions that are in place which also deal with issues of children. So what are the relations with those institutions? One is the Nazareth Commission. The Nazareth Commission, in terms of defining you detail all those who are between the ages of 14 and 35. So that is some limit, there is a cohort of 14 to 18. So what will be the relation? How can they influence policy direction of the office, and how also do you influence a policy direction of the Youth Commission to cater directly for children? Two, is the office on the status, or is an office on disability, which is also having young people there? What is your structural relationship in terms of informing your policies, not to make issues of disability, you know, an issue or an added issue or an added program in a program, but a program which is meant through within a program? That is the second institution. The third institution is Mhlobo Youth Fund. Because you said in relation to ASCISA, you spoke about intrapreneur education, and Mhlobo Youth Fund has a dedicated funding for intrapreneur education in high school, where children are. And what is your structural relationship with Mhlobo? Well, Mhlobo is part of the programs of ASCISA to deal with those particular issues. So what is your relationship with that? So that will be the third question. The fourth question from our chairperson is on the issue of taking children's rights programs into local governments. Are you also using structures that are already existing in local government? For example, there are local youth units in local government that deals with issues of youth. They are already established in some municipalities. And in other municipalities, you have civil society organizations. Because you spoke about civil society organizations that you are going to focus, which we call them local youth councils, that are also dealing with issues of children. And what is your structural relationship with them in particular to this issue? The last one is on the mandate, not necessarily on the vision, mission, and objective, but on the mandate of the office. What is the core mandate of the office? I'm asking this question because I'm serving a number of colleges in Parliament, and I'm not sure whether the office is represented in this portfolio committee. One on social development. We have just considered a children's amendment bill. What has been the participation of the office in the construction of that particular bill? Because it talks to the heart of the family in terms of that. The second one is the justice and constitutional development. It's busy now with child justice bill, which is at the heart of the mandate of the office. So what is your involvement in those legislative processes? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Minister Chalmers.
Thank you, Chair. That was such a comprehensive lot of questions asked by my comrade that I think in part I am covered. I am, I must say, deeply concerned that the lack of systems continues to be raised as a problem when we are, 12 years down the line into the new government and a considerable time has elapsed since the formation of this committee. Surely there should have been some way of attracting people with capacity so that systems could have been put in place. Because to me what is of primary concern and importance is how are you analysing what your findings are? You do say that training has gone on for now doing the advanced training. What are those trainers actually doing, and where do their reports go, and how are they analysed so that there's capacity to feed their findings into government, into the Department of Education, into the Department of Social Development, into a whole, all the different departments, in order to increase their capacity to deal with children's problems and improve the quality of life of problems of children. I mean, for instance, do you look at the concerns and do you have some sort of oversight capacity to see what's happening with street children? Do you look at child-headed households? Do you look at what is happening with children who go through the justice system? I know it's huge, but if you're going to be looking at children's rights, then all of those must be taken into consideration. I'd like to know how our different constituency offices can access, I mean, you talk of how many, I think 54 municipalities that have been, that you have been working with. I mean, I'd like to know if the municipality where my constituency office is included amongst that 54. What have they been trained to do? What is what do you hope to achieve by training a municipality? I mean, I hear what you're saying is that they must prioritize children's issues. Is that happening? Do you have some sort of way of evaluating what is going on in a very precise manner? I think that's terribly important because otherwise it's all just, stuff going up and nothing really being analysed and coming back and being fed into government in a way that is really, really useful. And it comes down again and again to lack of systems. I think for the rest I've been already covered by my colleague here. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Member Andrew.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in a way, Honourable Mugani has raised a number of issues I wanted to raise. But I just want to add the basic issue of what it seems a lack of intergovernmental coordination, a lack of systems, etc. Now, the question that is actually bothering me is now what informs the report to the United Nations? The third report is going to be submitted by December. And if there's this glaring lack of intergovernmental coordination, then indeed. And if it's not the first report, it's the third one, which means these systemic issues have to be been dealt with before Chairperson. Otherwise, we will probably get a report that may not reflect an accurate state of affairs. Chairperson. So, Chair, for me, the issue of inequalities in our country is a major issue and how it impacts on children. We know that in the current state we have around about 8 million people that are unemployed, which means people that are who wants to work who are unemployed. And we know that if one looks at the state of the children report of 2006, last year's one, then we would clearly see the steps that we present there that poor children, a child that is poor, stand the chance of dying for the age of 5, 4 times higher. The likelihood of such a child dying for the age of 5 is 4 times higher than a child comes from a rich family. The vast majority of our children, which amounts to roughly, I think in terms of the last census, around about 19 million in this country, are poor. So that is a major worrying aspect. Comrade Chalmers have raised the issue of the extreme vulnerable children, street children, and in particular the issue of a child headed household. And the question indeed is to How does the ORC relate to those extreme vulnerable children? Because street children are frequently exploited. They are being subjected and put into prostitution. They are being put into crime, drug trafficking, burglaries, and those kind of things. And then, of course, the issue of child labor, the exploitation of children, especially on the farms. There have been numerous hearings. I think the Human Rights Commission also conducted hearings in relation to that particular issue. And it still is a major problem today in South Africa. How does the ORC relate to that? Also very, very importantly, I'm happy that Mr. Rando has raised the issue of the Millennium Development Goals at the end as part of the M&E strategy, and that is a very important thing, because I was a little bit worried. In your presentation throughout, there was no reference made to it, and I'm also happy Comrade Bongani have raised the issue of disabled children. Because especially in our country, as we are speaking today, children with intellectual disabilities are not being adequately catered for. The bulk of them are finding themselves at home. Their potential for development is in actual fact not stimulated at all, especially those with an IQ that is 35 and less. And it seems that especially the Department of Health are left to cater for them. And of course, we know it is completely inadequate. So those are very, very key things. I also want to raise the issue of the relationship with local government. In the light Commissioner Sharma is saying, one would be interested to know whether the city of Cape Town is part of the 54 municipalities that the ORC have a relationship with. The city of Cape Town has a number of network of care that deals specifically with the children's issues, and it would be very interesting to know what is the relationship. Because in my constituency, chairperson, there is a network of care, and we have a very good interaction with them. The days in terms of the of significant for children, the two that have been mentioned is the African Child, and of course National Children Day, but nothing is mentioned about International Children Day, which we celebrated the other day. Does that mean the ORC does not believe in international solidarity or not? This would be very interesting to know that. Let me hold at this point in time there. Thank you very much. The infant mortality rate in South Africa at the moment is 42 out of a thousand births. Now, clearly, we are ranked in terms of the state of the World Health Report 2006-65. And that makes us part of the upper third in the rankings. Obviously, we are ranked better than Nigeria, better than Zimbabwe, Zambia, Mozambique, etc. But in comparison with other countries, obviously the developed countries like Sweden, whose rank around about 172, in America, 154. Clearly, must be done to improve our ranking. And the key thing is how does the ORC involve itself in ensuring that, there is that kind of an improvement in the livelihood of children, that their quality of life is drastically enhanced. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you. I will give another round of questioning, but I would like to add to what's really being said. Mrs. Ransler, when you started your presentation, you spoke about systems. Okay, systems giving you problems, or what you exactly when you talk about systems, the technology systems, coordination, research, those types of systems, statistics, systems, we hear that systems, but systems is not defined to us as to what systems are. Then, linked to the death rate of children, we received a presentation from the Children's Institute where they were saying there's a lack of coordination by government to prevent or rather to enhance child survival. So my question, the ORC, your involvement in making that that there's coordination between various tiers of government when it comes to child survival. How is there some coordination there? Is it possible for you know, various government levels to coordinate their services when it comes to child survival? Questions can be left for another round. Thank you.
Thank you, Chen. Earlier on when I commented about the document that we have received here, I alluded to the fact that I suspect my office, I think, sent not the updated version of the document. So I do agree with you. The budget of 1,050 is because we sent the wrong document. So please, as soon as on Monday, we will send all the correct documents and be in the office. And that will explain then the appropriate allocation for individual activities. In terms of the ORC discussion with the presidency around the budget, we had a lengthy discussion and agreed ultimately that the resources available to ORC would be 3.7. So indeed, ORC must go back into our budget, and that revised document that I'm talking about will then give you the 3.7 allocation. So the revised document will give you appropriate, accurate information and also the accurate budget for the year in line with the presidency's allocation. The honorable member asked about the different presentation of two sectoral missions, sectoral visions, etc. Two visions, missions. I think, again, honorable member, this is where the problem of technology catches up with us, and the fact that we did not have appropriate documents. Because what I was trying to explain was that as the National Children's Rights Sector, which is much bigger than ORC, which includes a whole lot of parties, including the Joint Portfolio Committee, by the way, and in terms of the sectoral structure, the Joint Portfolio Committee is right at the top. As part of the component part of the National Children's Rights Program. So we are saying in line with that broad program, which represents every aspect of the sector, we have to agree as a sector and say, as this children's rights sector, where do we come from, where do we want to take the children's rights sector in this country? And that is what gave us the sectoral children's rights strategy, which is a very broad framework. But outside, apart away from using that framework, that broad framework, we then agreed that the framework would serve as a guide, if you wish, or as a point of departure, if you wish, for different component parts of the National Children's Rights Program. Among the component parts of the National Children's Rights Program is the ORC. So we are just one component part. But you have provinces, you have municipalities, you have departments, we have all those structures. Now, all these structures base our performance strategies, if you wish, operational strategies, on the sectoral, on the broad sectoral strategy. I hope if I'm making sense. So, what you saw was first the presentation of the sectoral strategy, the broad strategy. But we then, based on that, produced the ORC strategy. That's why you have two separate strategies. But if you look at them carefully, they speak the same language, except ORC has taken out of that context our own responsibility and nobody else's responsibility. Lack of systems. We do have systems in government. Perhaps it's the way I put this across. We do have systems. I think we are talking about continuous perfection of systems. I think that's what we are talking about, continuous perfection of systems. When we write reports, just to answer also at the same time the question raised by Honorable Member, when we write a report to the UN, that report is informed by input from all the national departments. Now, for national departments to input, logically they would have to have spoken to provinces, their counterparts in the provinces, but also the provinces would have had to talk to their systems in municipalities. So we do have that. What we are struggling to do and aspiring to achieve as ORC is a system that enables us to, if a department says this is what we have achieved in Mpumalanga, to be able to, within our system, do a reality check in terms of what is being said has happened in Mpumalanga by the department and confirm, therefore, that indeed that is happening in the province. I think it is common knowledge that sometimes we are very creative in compiling reports, and it becomes increasingly important that we present accurate reports to both the UN, the AU, and even to our nation. And that's the comprehensive system that we are working hard to put in place as ORC. The system that we have works, but I think we could develop a system that works better. Right now, if any honorable member were to ask me a detailed question on children's rights delivered in a particular municipality, it would be very difficult for me to respond. That system that we are putting in place is hoped to achieve that, so that when we are asked in Parliament as ORC or anywhere as ORC about delivery at a different part of sphere of government, we should be able to respond to them. So that's what the system that we are making on this year is hoping to achieve. The relationship with the National Youth Commission and other related structures. I think the National Children's Rights Advisory Council this day agreed that it is important and actually mandated ORC to go and to meet with the National Youth Commission and discuss the issue of age, because the fact that we work with the same constituency, 14 to 34 for youth commission, 0 to 18 for children's rights, indeed makes it imperative for us to find a way of working together and to harmonize that. So that is something that we have yet to clear with the youth commission. We haven't done that very well up until now, as ORC, I must admit. Our work with disability, with ONGP, ORC regards ONGP as our technical competency for anything that we do with children with disabilities. Because we do not have in-depth knowledge as well on disabilities, but ONDP does have. So when we do any work around children with disabilities, ONDP works with us. Just as an example, when, as a matter of principle, when ORC gets involved in any child process, children's rights process with children, necessarily children with disabilities are also form part of that process. But ONDP works with us on that, and we find that to a very large extent we are guided by ONDP in terms of some aspects that as ORC we would have committed to look at. So we work closely around that. Also, just to say, the UN Convention on Disabilities does have a section that focuses on children's rights. And this is where ORC and OSDP will work together in terms of implementation of that part or that chapter in the UN Convention on Disabilities. The information on Umsombongo, I think it's good, Honorable Chair. And because ORC wants to focus as visa-related children's rights programs in primary schools, we will necessarily engage Umsombongo on that and see how best we can help each other in terms of that, support each other in terms of that. In local structures, Honorable Chair, you raised the issue of linkages with local youth structures of the children's rights program. As a matter of principle, the children's rights sector, the ORCs and the 3 tiers of government, when we do work in our areas of operation, there comes a point where we need to talk to children themselves. And at municipality level, it therefore would be important that the ORC in the mayor's office, when they do consultations with children, that they also look at involving local youth structures. I must quickly say, remember the process to engage the municipalities and national children's rights processes began in NS last year. So it's a fairly new exercise, but your input in terms of that is quite valuable. We will share that with them as an opportunity around consultation with children. There was a question, what is the core function of ORC? What does ORC actually do? The core functions of ORC are actually three. Our first core function is to facilitate mainstreaming of the child-centered governance and business approach in government. Now, we do that working in partnership with the ORCs in the provinces, so they must do that in the provinces. In partnership with the ORCs nowadays in municipalities, because we must achieve that through them at municipality level. And we do that in departments through our children's rights focal points. And this is why, therefore, it is important for ORC nationals to make certain that there are competencies, capabilities, and resources in departments, provinces, and municipalities for us to be able to do that. If I'm in the municipality, for instance, if you look at our children's rights mainstreaming guide, for instance, if I'm in a department and I'm ORC, if I'm in a municipality and I'm ORC, my responsibility would be to make sure that when planning happens to develop an IDP, I input into that process and make certain that the issues of children's rights are captured within the IDP in line with priorities for children's rights delivered in my municipality. It would also be important for me to input and make sure that the budgeting for implementation of the IDP also allocates resources for delivery on children's rights initiatives in the IDP. So that would be the kind of work I do. That is around mainstreaming. Municipality planning, governance processes also include children's rights issues. The second core function of the ORC would be to heighten awareness, if I'm in the municipality continuing with that, to heighten awareness among councillors, in departments within at local government level, the executive, mayor's executive council, around mainstreaming, why we need to mainstream and the importance of mainstreaming, to also capacitate them in terms of policy analysis. So when we do policy analysis, it is because of these reasons and this is how we do it. To also capacitate them in terms of coordination, say why must we coordinate children's rights activities in the municipalities, and also familiarize them with oversight, the sector's oversight oversight processes, so that they work with me in terms of, or support me if I'm just working in this country, in terms of making sure that we do indeed mainstream, we coordinate, and we pull information together, and we exercise oversight in terms of children's. So those would be the core functions. The third one is monitoring and evaluation, as I said. Those are the core functions of the ORC now. If I'm the ORC in the province, if in my province, for instance, ORC National has shared something we call the Children's Rights Digital Guide for Municipalities. If it has already been shared with municipalities, if I'm in the municipality, my responsibility is to make sure that my municipality as ORC implements in line with the delivery guide as has been agreed. And in that way, I will be able, therefore, to report to my provincial ORC in terms of how we are performing on children's rights, not only provincial ORC, but to the mayor and to the municipal manager in terms of how we are performing, in terms of the gaps, in terms of the improvement strategies that must be there, that we must engage in. But the provincial ORC will then be able to collate all that information and send to national office. National will then be able to collect all that information. We produce, therefore, a national report that is fully informed. And at this point in time, this is what I'm talking about. Because we are starting out really at the municipality level, there's a great possibility that most of the reports that we have produced up until now have left out information that was pertinent that we could also have included in our report. The children's bill and the child justice bill. ORC works at national in partnership with the Department of Social Development around the bill processes. We assist in a number of their processes. Simply because it is our subject, the children's rights thing, and we make our input in that context. The child justice bill, ORC went to the, we also work with justice. ORC also observed that it has taken us time as a nation to pass this bill, and ORC made a submission to cabinet to say we have to take a decision as a country and move in terms of this particular issue. So I'm saying this because I want to just say that we do acknowledge that anything that is children's rights is central to our responsibility, and therefore we will support it, whether it is within the department, whether it's in the province, or whether it is in municipalities. Okay. Around issues like targeted households, and children living in difficult circumstances in different areas. As a country, all we know is that we do have children living in difficult circumstances in different ways. Children in the streets, children in targeted households, children in prison, the list is long. ORC felt it is important to do is to have a big picture of that scenario, because once you have that big picture scenario, you are able then to come up with intervention and programming systems. You are able to program and plan for interventions to deal with the issues. So this is why this year we are focusing on a situation analysis on the state of children in South Africa, special attention to the various categories of vulnerabilities of children. So within that exercise this year, we will be looking at children in living in the street, children in house, in childless households, and just children in different situations of difficulty. Specifically around childless households, ORC has with the Department of Social Development, is looking at all the existing models around dealing with childless households and dealing with this phenomenon. We are jointly preparing to identify or consolidate a model that we as a country should use that is sustainable in terms of dealing with this particular phenomenon. So indeed, ORC, it is ORC's responsibility to do certain things and to do work in those areas. The work of ORC with municipalities and the relation, the linkage with constituencies around that. When Minister met with the mayors last year, provinces were divided into three. Some provinces, the coastal provinces, met in Kimberley, The other provinces met in, three provinces met, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Northern Cape met in Kimberley. Three provinces met in Limpopo, and the other three provinces met in Devon. That ORC had started to do work with municipalities, but we felt it was important for ministers to meet the mayors themselves, so that minister, in that context, is able to strengthen understanding around the government's agenda of action around children's rights at that level. Now, what we are doing this year is really follow up on the commitment that was made by mayors in those meetings. I would want to believe that indeed the municipality of Cape Town participated in that meeting. But perhaps to say the ORCs in the different provinces, because it is them who came with the ORCs, we have a list of who exactly, which municipalities exactly participated in those forums. But the record that we have in the presidency in the ORC indicates that most municipalities did participate, at least most district municipalities did participate in that process. And therefore, I think through the ORCs in the provinces, it would be easier to then understand what exactly and who exactly would be the contact person in a particular municipality around children's rights. Intergovernmental coordination. I think in the children's sector, there are several programs or initiatives that makes it an imperative for us as different spheres of government to work together. For instance, government has prioritized, as we know, the early childhood development program, and to deliver early childhood development means that as a country we have to deliver on the health requirements of the child, so health department gets involved. We have to deliver on mental stimulation of the child, so education gets involved. We have to deliver on registration of children, home affairs gets involved, on grants for poor children, social development gets involved. So I'm saying this to say there are several initiatives that make it imperative for us as different spheres of government to work together in the children's rights sector so that we are able to deliver on the rights of the child. So interdepartmental coordination and collaboration may not be as good as it should be, but it is happening, and it is our responsibility as ORC and our counterparts in the provinces, departments, and local governments to continue to strengthen intergovernmental coordination. Again, referring to inequalities in the country in terms because of our history, I think the situation analysis aims to examine this so that that information, the findings are going to help us to program better and effectively from that point on. Oh, there was a question whether or not ORC is perhaps not interested in the International Children's Day. What can let you happen over the years is that departments, in fact, mostly civil organs of civil society and departments do celebrate the International Children's Day. And when they do so, ORC is called upon most of the time to either come and give this presentation or that presentation, support the organs of civil society. And that, as a result, we can let on this day not to ourselves have a program, but to allow ourselves to support organs of civil society in terms of their celebrations of the International Day of the Child. But Honorable Chair, you will remember that last year we requested, and I actually even formalized this with a request to the Joint Monitoring Committee, because this issue was raised by the committee last year already. And I made a proposal that on the day, on the International Day of the Child, ORC, working in partnership with the Joint Monitoring Committee, could facilitate that children come from the different, from all the 9 provinces. A specific number of children come from all the 9 provinces to Parliament here to meet with the Joint Portfolio Committee, and for each province, and for children from each province to then present their issues, if you wish, to the Joint, or share with the Joint Portfolio Committee what their challenges are in their provinces around children's rights delivery. Because that then would have given the JMC the opportunity to engage children directly from all the provinces. We were not able to facilitate that this year because we had not received the endorsement, if you wish, from the Joint Monitoring Committee. So we believe that, or we propose that the Joint Monitoring Committee review that proposal and respond to us, because it was not only that. The other proposal within that context was made by the ORC was that ORC could facilitate on a monthly basis or periodically, meetings where ORC would come with individual departments for the Joint Monitoring Committee to ask pertinent questions around delivery, because our responsibility as ORC is not delivery as such, but our responsibility is to monitor delivery in government. So if we brought the answer questions that we cannot answer around service delivery, if we are here with education or health or the relevant department, the DMC has the responsibility to ask those questions. We are also here, and we will be able then to jointly actually check the performance of children's rights delivery in government. Again, I would request that the Joint Portfolio Committee chair revisit that proposal and respond to us so that we can start facilitating that. Because that would strengthen advocacy for delivery in government, and it would also strengthen monitoring both for ORC, but most importantly also for the Joint Monitoring Committee. So, Chair, I think those were the questions that have been raised. I wonder if I've kind of finished.
Yeah, just one question I asked. I thought the answer to the question was very enlightening, thank you. But the question I asked on analysis of what your findings are, and is there documentation to substantiate that, and can re-access it. I do think that your concept of meeting with the JMC plus a department, whether it's education or whatever, would be really, really useful. But I just like to have some idea of what analysis is being done on what your findings are in municipalities, in the provinces, and in general.
Sorry, Honourable Mark.
And this is the last round of questions.
Because of time, if there's any other questions that honourable members have, please raise your hand. You have opportunity now.
Thank you, sir. This committee, as a joint monitoring committee, sometimes the director calls us the joint monitoring committee. Nonetheless, we don't only monitor the department, what people do in our constituency, but we also monitor you. So it was also important that you should also send quarterly reports to the village. We also did have in the past activities on the 1st of June where we invited kids from all provinces, and it's always a day to look forward to, you know. So I think that kind of activity should actually be an annual event in Parliament. I think it's a very good thing. I always enjoy this one. Because I wanted to know this year, where was the June 16th? I mean, the 1st of June activity. Was there any nationally? I can't remember of anyone. Because we've always been very close as a committee for those activities. You were saying that you also have offices in the office of the Premier and the Mayor. Everybody wants a desk in the office of the Mayor for the activities. I wonder if it's not about time that we go for the office of the Deputy Mayor, because in every sector, see their issues as very important, and they want to deal with the Mayor. And the Deputy Mayor is just idling there, or the Speaker. Maybe one should look at that first. Finally, that person, I'm covered by all the previous speakers. I was also somehow when Bongani was asking you, how many visions are there, how many, because it sounded like a repetition. My comrade here, Thomas, was saying to me, saying the same thing again. I mean, that is what I pick up, you know. So maybe when you say things to us sometimes, you should say it to us first, you know, especially if you don't have something in front of you. We had a report from the United Nations representatives of UNICEF. He came to this committee twice. The report he gave us was a shocking one. When we asked him where does he get that information, he said to me, was it from our government, from the department and from our government. It was shocking. Now he was saying, and I agree with him, that South Africa, the history we made in 1994, everybody talked about that in America. But if you look at the status of children in this country, whether it is at school, the kids don't go to school, should be at school, in conflict with law, it's unacceptable, to say the least. Totally, totally unacceptable for a country like South Africa. Especially if you look at Africa. better than them. So, your report that you're going to give to the United Nations, obviously they must also have a report that they get from their representatives in the country. It should be very interesting to look at that. Because if you look at your monitoring work, obviously, would you say to us that the status of children in the country since 94 is it deteriorating? Is it an improvement? You know, because the government that we have now is open, transparent, everything is available nowadays, unlike in the past. Sometimes people tend to think things are worse now, which is not necessarily the case. But if you hear that it's rich and things are going through, it's really unacceptable to us. So perhaps maybe something on that.
Okay, there's two issues. One issue, Honorable Max have touched on that now. That relates to the levels of violence children are involved in as both as perpetrators and by and large as victims in the Western Cape, where they've seen the brutal killing of a child by two other children who was known to him. And of course, we see in media reports and in our constituencies often our children are engaged in violent activities at school, where they settle disputes with knives and at times with guns. And we know if one looks at the general age of a gangster, you will find that the bulk of them are children. You see, so that is it's in line with what Comrade Max have now asked. But the important question I want to raise is again the issue of the relationship with municipalities and particularly the provinces. We know from my experience in the Portfolio Committee of Health that our Intergovernmental Relations Act, that's now Act 13 of 2005, which provides for national consultative forums between the respective ministers and the MECs, etc., and the president with the premier, the mayors, etc. Our experience is saying that that in essence does not make any decision taken at that forum compulsory. There is a lack of an enforcement tool, and the problem from the experience of health indeed is that the provinces, the MSCs listen, they agree in those consultative forums, but they don't implement, because ultimately they are accountable to the premier in their respective province and not to the national minister. Now, I'm raising that in the context of the interaction that Comrade Esop had as a responsible minister had with our mayors. You see, what enforcement is there? How indeed is municipalities committed to implement the kind of thing that is expected of them to implement? We know that in the city of Cape Town, one of the things that comes to the fore very often is the fact that the mayor is arguing that the thing that they want to implement must be based on the powers and functions and responsibilities as outlined in the Constitution. You see, now the Constitution is, in terms of the municipalities, is very, very vague around issues of children's rights, and it can easily be interpreted as no. It's not our competence, it's not our responsibility. You see, now it's in that context that one asked that, say, whether there exist a kind of a MOU between the ORC at the national level, at the provincial level, and the desk at the municipal level, that will be an important thing to know or to work towards. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Now, you have raised your core functions. You spoke about ministering, you spoke about awareness, you spoke about monitoring and evaluation. So if those are three, so then that means you don't have an advocacy capacity. You do not do advocacy unless on the awareness side you also put advocacy. I'm asking this question because for me it's related to your communication strategy. You know, whether your communication strategy is only through, because when you speak about municipalities and government, you don't talk mainly on civil society and the population. How do you communicate your mission to those people? How do you communicate your program? Because when you speak, you are speaking and saying that sometimes you want to talk to children. You see, for me, perhaps that is part of what you do as awareness. So do you have advocacy work? Because for me, as part of trying to make people to support your program, you are advocating your program. But within your core function, you did not mention that as an issue. But you mentioned monitoring, you mentioned evaluation. That's the first. Yeah, it's related to communication. The second one is around, maybe one of the comrades asked this question. Whether are we meeting the Millennium Development Goals? Are we really meeting, particularly in relation to children? I'm asking this question because in the portfolio committee on social development, one representative from UNICEF someone said we are not meeting that in South Africa. We do not invest enough to our children. And if we do that, it is a threat to the future of these children. What is the thing? Because, you know, I'm asking this question because it becomes a very, you know, ugly picture that is being put. Yeah? I was listening to Morning Live. They were raising this about the Millennium Goals, that none of the African countries seemingly will be meeting those goals in 2015 or 14 years. I mean, what is your take on that? Even this morning on the SAFM, when people were asking whether South Africans are becoming happier, many white people were saying that no, many South Africans are becoming not happier. They raised question of child labor, they raised question of race on children, they raised number of issues, no crime and so forth. So, well, what is the statement? The last thing is that I'm not sure whether your Western Cape office attended a big conference that has been organized on the 1st of June in Harabu by the Western Cape Youth Commission, a conference on child labor that took place on the 1st. But that was a milestone conference in the Western Cape province because of the demographics of the Western Cape in relation to farm work. We were intervening one time as an ANC youth league, I think 3 years ago, when a child in Harabu lost her leg in a tractor. Her leg, you know, in a tractor, and then into the campaign. So I'm saying it is strategic for this office, for particularly for this conference. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. I must admit, with the questions I would like to ask, I had to cut myself here.
but I just want to ask you, mention some of the documents that are probably coming to us. Documents that will be printed, the child rights policy framework, maybe mention another document, the child rights delivery guide. Those documents, is it possible that we as the JMC please get those documents, especially the child rights delivery document, because when we go out, for example, to our constituencies, you are talking about municipalities, for example, that what are these municipalities then supposed to be doing regarding this delivery, these deliverables. So do they give us those documents? Is it still going to be printed or what? Please, you know, and, if you could just give copies to the JMC. Then I want to add, I think it was from Honourable Chalmers, talking about, you know, yes, it is, for example, maybe in my constituency, I'm saying, not aware that that municipality did receive the training. So I want to know for maybe, for example, later, or rather later, if you could give us a copy of all the municipalities that has received training, who did and who will be, if you could just get us those documents, please. For example, if they did get the training, because you were saying they were going to get the advanced training, and that's the third year training, if I remember correctly. Women's use the implementation happening, okay, because the first year training, second year training, and now the advanced training, and whether we're going to see whether that training is actually being implemented back into the municipality areas. So, for example, there's many issues that children face and many challenges that they face. And then thirdly, there's just one more I want to ask you. You were talking about the UN report on the status of the UN report on status of South African child in the 2007 December month report, but we only have 5 months over to get that report ready. So you are now working with the municipality and you must report to the province and report to the national office. So I just want to know if we'll have time for that before to be completed, to be handed in December 2007. Thank you very much. You can over to you.
Conducted at any point some form of analysis in terms of what is happening around children's rights in the country. The analysis that we conducted indeed is in relation to why we are not able, as overseas at the different spheres of government, why we are not able to efficiently do what we need to do in our areas of operation. So we can share, and that's the analysis that we shared with the sector at the performance, annual performance evaluation and planning meeting. So we will send that through so that you can have a look at that and see some of our findings there. 1st of June this year, no, we did not do anything at ORC. As an ORC event or program this year. Because remember, as I indicated, Honourable Member, we were hoping that on the 1st of June we would have brought children to Parliament. We just didn't get it together. So we were not able to do anything as ORC specifically. Yes, we hope that next year we should start that again. The issue of perhaps locating deaths of children or within deputy mayors or officers, I think is attractive. And maybe overseas should consider to look at that, because it still is within the mayoral office. So that would be UNICEF reports and on South Africa, on children and how changing it was indeed. ORC actually had a discussion with ORC
with UNICEF on that issue. And maybe I should share an experience of in terms of how as nationals we perceive what is happening in the country versus how other people interpret what is happening in the country. And I'm not sure which interpretation is right of in terms of the happenings in the country. But I want to believe the interpretation of South Africans should be right. UNICEF, for instance, produced a report that they produced on an annual basis, something they call the Country Program of Action, which they share with the UNICEF headquarters, and it is and funding for UNICEF throughout the world is based on those reports. So in a sense, it is also a fundraising document. Now, when you send such a document, our experience, at least as well, was that when UNICEF South Africa sent that kind of document, that kind of scathing a report came out within that document, and we were very concerned, because we said, if you look at what has happened to the country, to children, post-94, and compare that to what happened to children in this country prior to 1994, there's been a lot of positive changes in the country, a lot. Indeed, we do not want to shut our eyes to the fact that much still has to be done. There are pockets of very concerning happenings in the country, like violence on children is something that we are all very concerned about. But I think as one interprets what is happening, one has to interpret it within the context of what has happened in the country, what achievements have been made, why we have to ask ourselves, why is there so much violence on children, and OARC is very concerned about the fact, the issue of violence against children, the issue of child-to-child violence. And we need to understand why there's been this onslaught on children in the country. So what we have agreed, one of the things we will be doing this year is to visit prisons and see people who have been arrested because of violence on children, different kinds, and try to understand from them why they did that. Because to understand, you have to conduct some form of research. So we are conducting that kind of research, even if it won't be that in-depth research, but we need to understand. We also need to understand why children are so violent to other children. So we will do the same also with children. So hopefully, at some point towards the end of this year, we should be able to then share with the with honorable members in terms of our findings around that. In terms of honorable member asked, what measures have been put in place to ensure that discussions and agreements with municipalities do indeed get implemented by those municipalities? And as the example of ministers' discussions with mayors was posed. I think from OARC's point of view, it was very important to ensure that we have just two things happen. SANGA has a resolution which they agreed with municipalities in one of their meetings, that all municipalities would establish desks for children, women, disabilities, and youth. So that resolution was there, or is there. OARC has agreed a partnership with SANGA to follow up on that and make sure that that resolution is activated in the municipalities. And this is why we are moving in this direction. So for us, it is one measure that is going to indeed make certain that the delivery in terms of commitments made in the meetings with ministers. But I think most importantly, the issue of quarterly report, I think, is very important, and I do agree with honorable member that it is important to share as we move along in terms of what is happening, because
if in quarterly meetings we raise the issues, we report and indicate that these municipalities to the portfolio committee here, these, you know, the municipalities are not delivering and are not pushing hard enough in terms of what we all have to achieve as a nation. I think if those kinds of reports come to the portfolio committee, it is the responsibility of the portfolio committee, I believe, to then help and follow up with those municipalities to make certain that we deliver as a country in terms of children's rights. So I think those would be measures that we can use to push for delivery in terms of agreement. The issue of advocacy. When we do monitoring and evaluation, one of the outputs of that exercise is identification of gaps, areas of non-performance and concerns, etc. And when we receive once we have identified those, necessarily we have to take those issues back into the department to say, department, this is what we have observed. This is the ORC's suggestion in terms of improvement strategy. We discuss and we move forward. So for us, that is advocacy within government. There is another level of advocacy that must happen through within the Children's Rights, National Children's Rights Program, which must be driven by the National Children's Rights Advisory Council. On the National Children's Rights Advisory Council sits both government and civil society structures. So within that context, one of our responsibilities is to advocate for children's rights delivery in society, in broad society. So the broad advocacy as in society happens through that particular forum or structure, but advocacy within government for service delivery purposes continues to happen within the ORC system. There was a question whether or not we are delivering on Millennium Goals as a country and what the ORC's take is on that particular observation. I think, again, it goes back to what I said earlier. I want to say if you look at what is happening in the country in relation to post and prior 1994, you will come up with a lot of achievements and evidence that we are delivering on the Millennium Development Goals, but indeed we will also acknowledge that not to the extent that we should as we move forward. So we need to strengthen delivery on the Millennium Development Goals in the children's rights sector. I'm not too sure whether ORC Western Cape attended the Youth Commission Child Labour Conference. We will probably hear from them if they did, but I wouldn't be able to say at this point. Honourable Chair, yes, we will send the document that you referred to. And also the list of municipalities that were involved in the process, in the training processes up until now. We will also share that with you. Thank you.
Honourable Member, I have to come to please. We have, because of time, I have to give opportunity to the OECD as well. But I would can encourage you that the OECD would be here with us next week. Ms. Ronza, are you aware that you would be here as well next week? And maybe if you can take note of those questions and ask her next week those questions. Sorry, I have to cut this short. My apologies for that. You answered, but I was thinking that I haven't asked it, but the level of violence, I would really like if the ORC can do a research of what's happening in the prisons and what is the cause of all these child violence, and I'm looking forward to that report at the end of this year. That report will be welcome. Thank you for your intense presentation. It doesn't matter the lack of documentation, but I think it's right what you said. And I think those documents that you've come through, we're looking forward to them.
reading of the annual report of the ORC for the financial year 2005-2006. So, my RMIT is reading the same document for the
say thank you, Madam Chair, but also may I be excused?
Thanks for the next one.
No, I'm
going to
go.
Okay. Can you
give
your
card? I'm
I must really come and see you. I must come and see you.
I'm really, it's really going to be very sad. At the end of June, but it would be lighter in July. Okay,
July.
Okay.
More than you think. Yeah.
I'll give you my card. Can you ask them?
Okay.
The problem is, it's according to Peter. So I've got to be careful not to, otherwise I don't have the page number. Okay. Just one minute.
Oh, emailing
you. You ask them to email it to you and then they'll... show them your address.
Yeah, I'm going to NGOs said that they were never involved in that report. I do not want that kind
rather have an appropriate therapist that can consult with the NGO before we go to submit any report that of the country's report. Thank you. I'm looking forward to your presentation. I'm giving now over to you, Ben, for your presentation.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll try and be really very brief. I'm considering that members probably want to finish at 1, and I'm looking at the time. But I'm going to be extremely brief. So I'm going to make sure that I cover all the necessary things. Chair, let me also thank you, honorable members, also thank your support for this, what that we did for the concession. So I'm high right now, I'm sleeping at 12, waking up at 4. Midnight, waking up at 4 in the morning, so. But it's work that had to be done, and I'm glad that you were able to lobby your colleagues to pass the classification process. Okay, I'm going straight to the operational plan. That will be the main focus. I would want to request that honorable members use the two documents, strength plan document, as well as the budget, just for reference purposes, so that at least they see the detail in those two documents. The one I'm going to focus on is the latest document that we submitted this morning, just so that it's 3 pages, very short, concise, and to the point. The first thing, Chair, I just need to say that the ONDP is going to do two things this year, only two. One is the implementation of the UN Convention. Two is the formalization of the steering committee on the African decade and the implementation of the Continental Plan of Action for the South African chapter. Two things. But out of that, we would still do project work, as you can see. Let me take you through the main function. I think, Chair, one of the things that you requested us to do was to ensure that we tell this committee what are the functions of the ONDP. They are classified under advocacy and awareness raising, policy coordination, mainstreaming and capacity building, monitoring and evaluation. Those are the functions of the ONDP. Now, when you look at this document, you will see that each and every function is clustered properly in terms of the activities on the operational plan. For example, on advocacy and awareness raising, just to pick up one aspect, you would look at the International Day of Disabled Persons as part of the advocacy program. Is indeed as part of the advocacy program. But I must say, The reason why we put this in Bizo there is precisely because the ONDP is actually leading the is in Bizo process of the minister in the presidency. We were not deployed by default the honorable chair. It's just where that we love doing. So we put that there. And we coordinate this work in terms of the in Bizo focus we get for. So, then we do advocacy within the department, advocacy in the provinces, and so on and so forth. So that's advocacy. In terms of policy coordination, currently we are looking at reviewing the different policies, and we are going to be guided, Madam Chair, by the ANC Policy Conference, because the reason why we're doing this is because we have to look at the mandate of the ONDP and see how it fits within the work of government. We will therefore look at the policies differently in terms of, you know, policies that exist, such as free healthcare, provision of grants, things like those. And we are reviewing them as I speak to you right now, Madam Chair. You'll see I'll come to a point where we talk about the indicators when under M and E, and I'll explain to you how we are doing it. The other thing is that with regard to mainstreaming and capacity building, we want to capacitate government officials on the integrated national disability strategy. We are taking it further. The reason we want to do this, Honorable Chair, is that we have reviewed the I INDS. The Integrated National Disability Strategy is now under review. There's a task team which is working. It's basically technical people that work within government, officials, who come to the ONGP and work with them on the review. We will definitely submit the review to the ANC for perusal and analysis. In terms of monitoring and evaluation, we are currently developing and finalizing the disability indicator. In fact, as I speak to you right now, in the next 2 weeks, when the program of action is published and the government-wide monitoring and evaluation system is opened, you will see that we've worked on a number of indicators, on employment, on health, and grants. Those are the three main indicators. And out of that, we have shown, we will show you, Honorable Chair, the growth of availability and accessibility of grants, of the system, of the grant system to people with disabilities, growing from 1994 to 2007. So we're covering the whole 5 years in that regard. And that indicator is available in that book that's going to be published. In terms of MNE, we're also working on with the GNA cluster, Governance and Administration cluster. We have a deputy director who is appointed especially for monitoring and evaluation. Administration, we put aside an agenda for administration of the office. That is streamlining the system, filing systems, archiving, information document management system, all those things. Improving public access to information and so on and so forth. Now, these are the main things, Madam Chair, that we are going to be doing in the financial year currently. Let me go quickly to the budget. You will see that when you look at the block, the last column there. The last column.
Yes,
the last column. We have set aside money for each and every function and activity. Those figures, Madam Chair, that are there, you will see the highest is the International Day of Disabled. That we are pitching it at 800,000. Yeah. What is that? Yeah. We're pitching it at that level because, Madam Chair, we have to do a lot of work around Disability Awareness Month, starting from the 3rd of November right up to the 3rd of December. It's a whole lot of work. That's why we're pitching it at that level, because we must coordinate the IDDP. But Madam Chair, while I'm still here, just to excite the Honorable Moss and them, we are bringing out Stevie Wonder and Teddy Pendergrass in December, because we want them to do a seminar for people with disabilities in South Africa for the first time. The reason we're bringing them out here is for them to sing at the ICC on the 3rd and the 7th and then Pasadena. We're expecting 80,000 people to attend this concert. It's a history in the South African disability field. Because for the first time we are going to see superstars who are going to stand up and say, we must stop violence against children and women, and we have to protect people with disabilities. And Madam Chair, by the way, I'm one of the superstars, so I'll be singing with them. But this is what we want to do, because we want to raise that awareness. It's a very, very important and critical issue that we want to highlight to the committee, and we will definitely make sure that the promoter consults the JMC before they come into South Africa. So that's basically what we are going to be doing. The other important thing, Madam Chair, I need to highlight, is that you will see, when you look at the total, you will see a differential point there of about 900,000 rand. Now, the funds to be spent already allocated is 2,540,000. The original amount is 3,443,000. Now, there's a differential of 900,000. Remember, Madam Chair, that the presidency has now reviewed their budget. And this is now the new total that we are getting. The rent is going to be for salary adjustments of the staff of the OSCP to pitch it at 3.4 million. Now, this budget, Madam Chair, was released only last week. Now, the total. Like the 2.5 million, we were informed about this yesterday morning, because there's a new format of the presidency that is now being reviewed. But However, we are certain, but we know that we will do this work in terms of the UN Convention. And I think I need to also highlight the fact that once we finish the ratification process, we are going to embark on the training of government officials on the UN Convention as well. And that, Madam Chair, will fall under the issue, the function of mainstreaming and capacity building. To conclude, as I said, Madam Chair, I'm going to be extremely brief. To conclude, the important thing, Madam Chair, is to understand that this operational plan comes from the strategic planning session of the OSCP. In fact, these are the key activities of the strategic plan. The strategic plan is aligned with that of the presidency, it's aligned with the policy unit in the presidency, and it's aligned with GDC, which is Gender, Disability, Children and Youth Issues. And that is why I do not want to take you through the mission and the vision of the OSCP and all those things, because quite honestly, the meat of the presentation is the operational plan. And that's why it's actually budgeted for quite, in terms of, certainly quite, in terms of the figures that appear on the budget. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. That was very brief. But I know that members have a lot of questions. I'm very sure of that. I just need to know, I was looking now for that, you mentioned that 800,000 rand for the international disability.
Yes.
And I couldn't find it in the budget. Is it under something else?
No, I'm just saying I'm in a point one.
Oh, my apologies. I was looking at that fine print document.
Oh.
Sorry, my apologies. Yes, okay. I see that 200,000 rand and 120,000 rand. Okay, yes, I found it.
Yes.
I have the budget in front of me on that stated it on a monthly basis. And for 2007 until March 2008, I was looking at for that amount there.
Oh, okay.
So now I understand where you are coming from. And then, I'm not clear on this specific matter. Okay. I was looking again at the monthly statement budget for that 3 million and something, 3,500,000. So it means that that document that you got today, funding that's going to be spent is 2.5 million.
Yes.
And you're not going to receive the 3.4 million. So is that what you got? Can you just clarify that for us?
Okay.
I'm not very clear on that. And also, what I also want to say, Honorable Mark came in now, just came in now, and you missed what you said about TV Wonder.
Okay.
Maybe you need to repeat.
Okay.
While Honourable Member Moss is present in this meeting.
Okay.
So, with TV Wonder present at the meeting, with people with disabilities, please do not leave out the deaf people. I know that deaf people cannot sing, but deaf people know TV Wonder very well. They were mine to be present at that concert and to dance to that music. Please don't leave out the deaf community. For that content.
Thank you. I just want to clarify the differential aspect here. Yesterday, the presidency released a new format of the budget. Now, what happened was that the units were reallocated. And this meant that you would have money for salary adjustment for staff members of the OSCP, for example. Salary adjustment for 2007 and 2008. On the current existing salaries, but also you would then have post allocation. So the 900,000 rand is a differential figure which looks at post allocations and salary adjustments. Therefore, funds to be spent is 2.5 million. Yeah, for the so that's the money that is going to be spent by the OSCP. In total, we will receive the 3.4 million as per salary adjustment on a differential figure of 900,000.
Okay.
Yes. No, I was saying, Chairman, we're bringing out Kennebecker Grant and Stevie Wonder to South Africa in December. They will arrive on the 28th of November, and they will perform at the ICC Cape Town on the 10th, and the 7th, they will be at the Ellis Park Stadium. We expect 80,000 people to attend this show. So I was saying to the JMC that the Honorable Moss would be very excited to know this news, because I know he loves music, and yeah. But I was just also emphasizing that I'll perform with it because I'm like that.
Honorable Bongani, and then Honorable Andrew, and then Honorable Mok. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I very want to welcome the presentation. So, it's Mr. Kega.
Badi.
Or Badjima. Yeah. In the lighter note, you know, Mr. Badjima said that it's going to be quick and fast because he was looking at the time. I was wondering whether I thought he was blind, you know, but he said he was pushing at the time. But in a serious note, my chairperson, I don't want to touch the theme of the conference. I'm very excited that you are calling Stevie Wonder and Teddy Pendergrass as a friend, but I don't think you must forget also Stevie Tekan and others.
No, I think
it is. Oh, okay. So it's very important that maybe you involve them also in this particular concept. That is your first issue. Also, you raised issues on indicators. One of the indicators that you have raised, it was an issue of employment. What is your attitude? Because in the report that we received in the portfolio committee on labor, is that government departments are really not achieving the target or the goal. Because if you know we have a 3% quota for employment of people with disabilities, and also we always mention that people with disabilities, when they are being employed, they must not necessarily employed or skilled for only what you call this thing, call centers, but on strategic costs. So what is the thing? Because they are not reaching 3%, I don't have a government department, so it's going to be well on private sector. It's only 1%. So what has your office done in terms of trying to achieve that target? The third question is related to what I've asked from ORC. It's the relationship with other institutional structures. With the Nationalist Commission, with Nsobo Youth Fund. Because if you talk about mainstreaming of disability issues, these are also organizations that are supposed. Because you find that some of the organizations they report, they do not report on the disability sector. And it is worrying that they are not planning for that. The last question I asked also in the last presentation is the relationship with other portfolio committees. When we were discussing the Children's Amendment Bill, the issue of disability was a one-off issue. It was not at the core or at the center of the Amendment Bill in terms of when we talk about child and youth centers. You see? And then you find that it was not at the core center, and what is your take on that? That relates also to the question of justice, and the child justice bill. You know, whether we were involved. You know, I'm asking these questions because I think they are very important to me. The last one is whether you are doing an oversight work. Because in your core functions, you did not put issues of oversight. I was not making oversight. I was coming from visiting my child in one hospital in Mitchell's Plain. But I passed at Lenderheer. The Lenderheer from hospital with people with disabilities. That is a rehabilitation center. Yeah, but when I entered there, I did not see an essence of rehabilitation. I was shocked to see a nurse, if you call them a nurse, at night, because I left there at 12 at night, managing more than 50 young people, you know, who are semi mobile, others cannot, they cannot have mobility, you see. And I saw that youth, others, they had swollen hands, and you can see that they are fighting. You understand? So, in your oversight, so I thought I was going to raise this to the committee when we do our oversight, we have to visit. You know, so today, what do you do oversight? You go to these places and see that really what is happening. Thank you very much.
Would you like to answer now,
yes,
or
do you prefer? Okay, Chair, you know, the advantage of having somebody who works with you closer is that she tells me the question. Yes, there you go. And so that's a very big advantage of being blind. The first question relates to the 2% type. I think I really, really owe you an explanation in the committee. We have two things that we try to do in the OATP to do this. Our problem, Chair, is that the managers that are appointed in government departments really let us down. The other thing, Chair, is that I keep on being told that they cannot find people with disabilities who have those skills. So, I will send an explanation in writing to this committee with regard to it, because we have been very bad. We have gone down to 0.26% in the population. It's bad, Chair. And I mean, I'm talking about a recent report of the Public Service Commission. 0.26. We have not even reached 1% at this point. So, I will write an explanation, Chair, and maybe the GMT will make a decision to me, because I have been struggling to get this thing going. And I'm not going to be able to really pull the manager by the ear to really listen, because I've gone to departments, I went to the Public Service Commission, and I've even set up a database in my office, honorable member, where people with disabilities can put on their CVs, and people who are employing in government just have to go to the website and find people to employ. But it's the will, honorable member, that is not there among our managers in government. It's the will. I still get calls from departments who are saying to me, they've got a number of switchboard operators told they are looking for blind people to employ. I get calls from people who say they've got posts for typists and clerks, and they want people with physical disabilities to employ. So, that's the problem. The intake is not good, Madam Chair. And I can tell you, you know, in government, the senior managers who are disabled, Madam Chair, we are not even more than 200. In the whole public service. So, I really have to really, really ask that the JMT assist me in this process to really drive this 2%. We have up to 2019 end of fiscal year to reach that target, and then we can decide president. But in the meantime, and I also, honorable members, I also have what we call the job access program that we have implemented in the last few months, and we've gone to the provinces to popularize it. So what we are doing now is to open up the public service through that job access program to make sure that people are able to access the jobs in the public service. And I must say that the Minister of Public Service Administration is really committed to this process of the job access. And she's really been making us quite well in terms of that work. Let's look at the second one. Oh, yes. It's the relationship between institutions and the OSDP. We have relationships with the Umsobomvu. If you look at our work, we're working with the Umsobomvu. actually put up a sizable amount there on research for youth socioeconomic opportunities for disabled youth and working with the National Youth Commission. And so we set aside money for that research to take place in the OSDP and within the youth desk of the president. Okay. The relationship with other portfolio committees, Honorable Chair, we only report to this committee so far. We haven't gone to any other committee. But the issues of disability grants and transport and so on, we know that the Department of Social Development, Department of Transport are actually also looking at the other reports from different directors general on disability targets and indicators. Yes, well, but I said the question of oversight, we're not really doing it physically every other time, but we do have time to go to places like workshops, places like schools of disabled learners. We visit organizations like DEFSA and Deaf Federation, that is, and the Council for the Blind. And so we visit, we do site visits in terms of that process. But we really don't do oversight visits as we should. In fact, Honorable Chair, there's a presidency process which is called shortlisting, which we are going to introduce this year. So one of the things we are going to do is for all of us in the presidency at some point to go to schools and just along the way, take the left hand and short left, stop there, go into a hospital, check what's going on and move on, just like that. So it's a process that is taking place and finalized at the high level in the presidency. Thank you. Yes.
You looking at the reports of the DG and on the disability targets, you are saying that you are taking those reports. I mean, do we as JMC, can we see those reports that have been taken on disability and disability targets? Can we get those reports?
Yes.
Then also, then, okay, then you want to answer on that one, and the, you are saying we can then see those reports?
Yes.
Okay, now fine.
So.
Then, Honorable
Andrew? Yes, Chair. So I think I've raised it before in relation to employment opportunities for the disabled people. Let me start in thanking Benny for a very summarized presentation that covers everything. It's always very, very economical over time. Let me get back to the issue of employment. It is very, very disheartening the figures that are actually going down instead of improving a chairperson. Now, I've raised it before, I think it's last year or the year before last, that is very, very important that it must interact with the political heads in the various departments also, the OSDP, perhaps through its ministry, Comrade Esop Park, saying, so that we in each ministry have a person focusing on disability issues. I know it sounds outrageous, but I think if the highest level in the department have this practical concern and have put in place mechanisms, then certainly the DG and the staff underneath the DG, the chief director, will be compelled to implement and honor those targets. I think, Chair, I think many of these managers need sensitization, disability sensitization training, because the skills are we cannot find suitable, qualified, disabled people to fill those posts are not an acceptable excuse, and they, in terms of output, there are quite a number, hundreds of disabled people who are in universities, in colleges, etc. You see, who matriculate every year. And certainly I think employers are by and large not prepared to go that extra mile in making sure that the environment where a disabled person has to be employed, that environment is conducive and has been altered in such a manner, a chairperson. So it's very, very easy to say, let us target a switchboard, let us target low-level jobs at this at clerk level, etc., a chairperson. So I think we, indeed, the OSDP and ourselves must step up in our interaction with the various departments. Those figures that Benny will be sending forwarding to you and you will forward it to us will indeed assist us in growing various department chains. But I think we must make a concerted effort in ensuring that the disabled people are accommodated in work, chairperson, and perhaps interaction with the various sectors in terms of training should also facilitate that particular process. But I'm happy Benny responded by making reference to the job access program and the database in the office, because I wanted to raise that. I remember the last time you was with us dealing with your budget. This is a program that you made reference to. I think we all were very excited about it. I'm a little bit concerned, Chairperson, nowhere in the present budget is he referring to the popularization of the United Nations Convention that this country has not recently ratified. He has worked very hard to ensure this ratification, Chairperson, but we spoke previously when he presented that that work to this committee in a run-up to our ratification. We spoke about the issue of roadshows, etc. I actually failed to pick that up in the budget that has been presented to us, and I want to emphasize what you said earlier, Chairperson, that we would not want a situation where the public or civil society disown this important convention precisely because of a lack of consultation, Chairperson. And I think it has to go beyond the organized disability sector, Chair. These roadshows that Benny have referred to before itself of paramount importance, Chairperson. Those are the key issues I wanted to raise. Okay. I'm also happy that he indicated that 903,000 relates to salary adjustment, because I was a bit concerned whether this 903,000 rand will have to go back. I'm looking. Thank you.
How very quickly? Yes, I also gone through the operational plan, but I was worried there because I didn't see the INDS review process and the convention. But now you've given us now today the summary of the expenditure for program, so it explains it. Obviously, that is a bit explained. Maybe you can give some more meat onto that detail. Thank you.
Okay. Madam Chair, the popularization of the UN Convention is under policy coordination on a three-page document. We're starting this process very soon in July. The one on the review of the INDS is under policy coordination as well. It's policy coordination, yes. Both of them are under policy coordination function on the three-page document. And there's a budget for that. We've set aside money. We are going to increase it substantially, in fact, by on demand. I must say also that I welcome the comments made by Honorable Andrew. But I must just also announce, Honorable Chair, that on the 4th and the 5th of July, we will be holding hosting an Asian 70 summit at the Southern Convention Center to try and iron out all of these issues that Honorable Andrew has raised and Honorable Bongani, with particular reference to relationships, civil society, institutions of higher learning, and so on and so forth. So the summit will take place at the Southern Convention Center, the 4th and the 5th of July. And the JMC is cordially invited to attend. But I must emphasize, Honorable Chair, that the members, the Honorable members will have to pay for themselves transport and accommodation. Thank you.
I was approached by a disabled woman. She was working at another place that was healthy. But they were mentioning the counties in her favor. She was disabled, she's a woman, she's black, she got a degree, diploma, and she had experience, okay, because she came from her home and a bunch of generations. I then went to approach the minister, Roger Balfour, Little Correctional Services. And within 1 week or 1 month, that woman works out permanently for us. See, I think what we should do, there's another woman from Kubuletu who called me. I think she has an honor now, a person with an honor. I actually lost her details. I need to follow it up today. I believe, you can't make the same person who have that kind of qualification and even have disabled people working in departments and they stay at home unemployed. As soon as I get her ticket, I'll go from minister to minister to ensure within a week of me getting that, she must get an appointment. Because we keep on hearing that there are many posts, thousands and thousands of folks, not first. Why there are people outside, you know, who don't get jobs. So, the kind of approach that we must take, must be a vigorous approach. You know? I was even thinking of going to Comrade Geraldine also, because she's now sort of the main minister when it comes to employment in the sector. We spoke to her about 3 years ago, and she said any proposal she will support it. So I don't exactly what we must do, but as an individual, those are the kinds of steps that I do. When there are people that I know who can do the job, you know, to get them to get employed. Shepherdson, the other point is, I just wanted to know, where is the International Day of Disabled activity for this year? I would also want to share something with you. The last time you came to us, Jefferson, you were dragging and hosting it. When you spoke with the department, they listened to you. For example, the IGM, you gave it to them and they, you know, I don't know whether he's scared of you, but he'll do this. Now you said to me, he don't know what he did with me. Because the disabled person in employment so I don't know. I hear something different now. Because there's certain things I don't forget. And my final point, the person, I once went to dance just now on the jetty in Stevie Wonder. I once went to a show. There's a guy called Bruno and some other guy, friend of us. There was some disabled activity in Cape Town. So we went to dance
blind people can help. And we have to show them, you know, the sound is possible and they were dancing. And the music stopped playing, you know, and we indicated them that the music was on. And they the time. And people were looking at these people who were dancing. So when Steve invited these people to come, if he invites people like those, let them dance, they find no corner, otherwise they wouldn't bring them up.
Honorable Mark, in relation to what you just said, in relation to employment, I read in the newspaper a few weeks ago, the Department of Social Worker was trained and she is not getting any employment. Examples like this we need to see to, and that we need to make the managers in those departments really aware that we do have social workers that are trained, they know the issues to say that they can not say to us that those people that have been qualified and so forth, they can be employed by the Department of Social Development. Over to you, Amy.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by saying that, in fact, when I was talking about this context, I was talking about the context of finding folk alternatives to sit in the OSDP Interdepartmental Committee. There, I don't have a problem with speaking to departments. In fact, almost just recently, when was it? 2 weeks back. 2 weeks back, she delivered letters to all the DGs in government for all this work in terms of policy, the review of the INDS, all of that work. And we got a very good response. So I was talking in that context. The context of employment is different, because you will know that senior managers are very hard people to deal with, just in terms of like saying employee so-and-so. HR in government does not have a clear-cut disability policy. It does not exist. We are pushing through the job as a program because we decided, no, let's leave policy and go straight to activity, to franchise process. I know that the Honorable Moss will say, no, but they need your responsibility to develop the policy. I agree. The policy exists. Policy objectives, in fact, exist in the INDS. But the public sector does not have a policy on employment with disability because, you know, we are only forced by reasonable accommodation through the Employment Equity Act. So that's the context I'm trying to explain. The ICDP, Honorable Moss, is going to be held in Cape Town at the ICC on the 3rd of December. And you are invited to be there. Thank you very much. What about? No, everybody is invited. Yes, they must come. In fact, they will just, all they have to do on the moment is to look at my feet when I'm on the stage. And they just pull. Thank you.
Before I'm going to give over to other members, just on transport, Honorable Mark kept on keeping complaining and informing us on transport and the accessibility transport, and it's really going for that support for equipment on transport. That's not really doing something to make transport accessible for people with disabilities. Of course, nothing is happening. But I saw that in your operational plan that yes, you have an activity and that summary of expenses that you have under a policy coordination environmental accessibility and public transport, 100,000 was allocated. What does that mean? What is going to happen? And how are you going to work with the Minister of Transport and the Portfolio Committee on Transport? And especially to make the public transport accessible for people with disabilities. Before you're going to answer that, I'm going to give over to Honorable Bongani.
Oh, thank you very much. I think the gentleman has asked my first question. Well, I was excited about the relationship with Portfolio Committee of Shabbat Sports. But when I'm looking at these golden arrows here, they do not have runs, all of them. And if I look at the train, I'm worried. The construction of stations is worrying, you know. So, I think the gentleman can ask a question. But this one question that I wanted to ask also is, what is the staff complement? What is the staff complement? So, do you have staff takeover? If yes, why? If no, what is your retention strategy? That will show you the change. Thank you very much.
Honorable Mark, do you have any other questions?
Okay. In terms of accessible transport, Honorable Chair, you remember that last year when I came, when I presented the strategic plan in June, and the budget, I alluded to the fact that we were going to look at accessible public transport as a priority for the minister. And I think, and he also announced it in Parliament. So what we have done, I have gone to provinces to speak to the head of transport in the province, public transport, to understand the magnitude of their problems, the challenges that they are facing in terms of disability. And also, we started a process of working with the metros. We started with the metros because that's what I could afford to do last year. So that process is continuing. And you will see, Madam Chair, that I have classified all forms of transport under activity. Yes. And what I need to do, the 100,000 rand, Madam Chair, will be spent on reviewing the codes for taxi capitalization, for disability codes. It will be spent on working with the South African Bureau of Standards to ensure that we look at the quality of the hydraulics in terms of making buses accessible and trains and so on. We are also investing money in terms of working with the Bombela group, so those people who are doing how train. We have already started that process with them. So most of that money will be spent in that regard. All of this work, comes out of the transport user that was held last year, if you remember. And we are working very closely with Minister Jeff Kalele in that regard. We also made a presentation at the user on the public transport, accessibility of public transport. The staff complement of the OLGP, Honorable Bongani, the organogram is the director, Deputy Director Monitoring and Capacity Building, Deputy Director Monitoring and Evaluation, Deputy Director Policy and Advocacy, two admin officers, secretary, and two project personnel. We're running the project of the Danish government where we're looking at economic empowerment, transformation of shared hardware jobs, and so on and so forth. So we've got two project staff.
I'm just interested in the last response on sheltered employment.
Yes.
Yeah. What is your relationship with this state and organ that always report in the portfolio committee on sheltered employment? What is your relationship with them? And what records the picture that they are giving us is everything is going well. You know, and it's very important that you get a different approach to this problem. You know, because in my understanding, this sheltered employment, it was dominated by white people, they have a status of war and so forth. What is really happening? I'm very interested in this particular question.
Honorable Mark.
said, thank you. I said, but you're correct. You know, there's one thing I like of this parliament. Commit Bongani. He does not have any disability. Myself, maybe that I don't know. Somehow I didn't. But you know, he will always raise issues of first people's disability. And this is how I like him to take place in parliament. I must not go to the disabled. Now I must be sister in the right thing of disability. And I think on that terrain, I think we've made some progress in the parliament. He's not the only one. We get other ministers, other MPs also, who would sit and talk about things for disabled. But the problem I have is people are not listening to this. Let me give you an example. Last week I went with the portfolio committee of transport to Gauteng. Last Sunday, it took me an hour to get out of the plane into the terminal building. And a full hour. Now I'm sick and tired of it, you know, complaining. I even have the telephone number of the public relations minister or director of SLA. You know, like where you can personally talk to the person, but it's been coming off for how long? You still have that call. When I got to the airport, that's now arrangement done by the department itself. They would normally organize a car for me, no? Instead of carrying me high up in a bus. When I got there was no car. Okay? Now, that's an internal matter. We went to look at the readiness of Mr. Sobok for the 2010, and we were concentrating on the transport. There was a bus there that was friendly to the disabled person. For this hydraulic lift, I got in front. But you know our slogan, nothing about us without us. It was not difficult for me to get into that bus. Apparently they told me they bought 80 new buses. And each of the 80 new buses are disabled friendly. Now my question is, if a disabled person stands there at the bus terminus waiting for this bus to come, I mean 20 buses might pass at first and not be able to accommodate him, especially if he has a wheelchair. It was so difficult to get into that bus. Now when I asked them about what is the plan, for the disabled person, because the disabled person has been excluded all along, and now is the opportunity, right, to accommodate the disabled person beyond 2010. Now I've asked the very same question when the Metro Rail people came to give a report on Comrade Lucky Mantana Montana. He was very brave and he admitted, you know, they've done very little. Because you would find a train station, might have a subway or stairs, which is not friendly for the disabled person, but you can get on the platform. Then the other time, you would find you can't get off the station, you must get off at three stations after that one, because that station is not friendly to the disabled person. You know, those are the kinds of things we have. I then wanted to know from the Department of Transport, what strategy you have in place to accommodate the disabled person? Because they always say it's an integrated, accessible, efficient. Now, when you talk about any problem, as far as I'm concerned, that is integrated, that is accessible, attitude be friendly and accessible to the table person? I'm telling you, table person, when it comes to transport for the table person, there must be very serious things we need to do. I heard you talking about the sector recapitalization program. When I asked Minister Devkhadebe, how is this capitalization program going to benefit the table person? He told me it's a every 60 or 20 or 60 will be friendly to the table person. I mean, that is not good. It will never work if that is the case. So your program, the person that you have with the Department of Transport, I've learned from experience. You will have to interrogate them thoroughly, and also they will have to show to you exactly what they're going to do, what are the time frames, and how this is going to work. Because you must remember the slogan, nothing about us without us. In the end, they will have something that is friendly for the disabled person, and you won't be able to use it. So my take of the of when it comes to transport for the disabled person is that these people either they don't know or they are not serious at all.
And you, in addition to transport, this for the department to the department or to the public sector. What about the private sector? They've been working to 2000 and up to 2010. And what I want to ask is SANEC. When I booked them to book us, I asked them to book us for flights for a meeting, for this meeting. And then at that hotel we have this meeting. And that's the private sector. They are contracted with the private company to fetch us at the airport. My problem is completely another issue. But those persons in a wheelchair, they were not prepared to actually assist that person with disability in that wheelchair. When that person was sitting there, that disabled person, when the shuttle arrived, and then also ask yourself, how are you going to get into that shuttle? And then the driver tried to carry him in, but he didn't know how to carry that person. And I think we need to look at the private sector. So when we arrive at the meeting, and the driver instructed us, get out and get into the golf car. And I said, and what about him? And the disabled person, how is he going to get out? And he said, the three of you, that would be myself and my two interpreters to get out, and then we have to drive them down to the meeting place. And they, because he's not going to drive to that venue. And then we got into that golf cart, when I looked back, the driver stayed there. People that were going back to the airport, he was waiting for them to get into that shuttle, and then waiting for them to get in, then would have been transporting that person to drop him off at the meeting venue. So the driver was aware that he would be coming. There was no arrangement made. And then the private sector must make sure that they do have accessible transport as well. But I think, do you have any activity for the private sector to enforce them also to apply for this? Because the department is working with them a lot, and the government departments are working with these private sector companies.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me start with the question raised by Honourable Bogart. The issue of sheltered workshops is not really going very well. The truth is that people are still earning very little wages. People are working hard, and the money that's been lost, of course. Workshops are not managed by disabled people themselves. So, the OSDP started a process really want to see. Just that workshop transformed into my own business and managed by several people who started here in Kukule too. Kaya Licha as well. We covered Bloemfontein in the Free State in Talent, somewhere thereabouts, and so on, and other places in Bobo and so on. And it is working very well. So, our idea is to ensure that once this pilot finishes, we hand it over. We are now running a process with the Department of Labor and the Department of Social Development to finalize this issue of merging sheltered workshops and protective workshops and make them viable businesses. So we are getting the merge. Alright, then it was the transport. Transport currently, we are working with the mostly with public entities, such as airways and so on and so forth. And that's the bulk of our work. Then we, of course, work with private companies who look at taxes and so on and so forth. And then I'm sure we'll be trying to implement the dollar right system if it doesn't seem to work very well. So we want to revisit it and see how we can brush it in a manner that would be more befitting to suit several people. With regard to your comment on on the issue of the airport company, Madam Chair, you know, the problem is that ASA somehow has decided to outsource passenger assistance unit. I have no idea why they did that. Because, you see, Madam Chair, we used to see very beautiful young ladies coming to fetch us on the plane. And I think Honorable Moss was quite happy about that. They used to fetch us from the plane, take us to the lounge, look after us right up to the end when you catch your transport. Now, Madam Chair, you get to the airport. Honorable Moses is correct. You sit in the plane for 30 minutes. The next thing somebody brings, and Madam Chair can say, this is very ignorant. I can walk myself, right? But can you believe that when I get to Johannesburg, somebody brings a wheelchair for me? So get on the wheelchair, but I can walk. Now you have to explain this instead of reading. I can walk, man. Leave me alone. And then they turn around and say, no, but my company says you must get this wheelchair. We don't do media assist when we walk people into the airport. We must put you on a wheelchair. I have no idea who taught them this kind of thing. But I suppose it's a problem that we will attempt to resolve. With regard to 2010, Madam Chair, we are now working with Southern Airways. We are sitting on their team to ensure that we would have good service for people with disabilities during that time. And, you know, when they fly in and out. And Madam Chair, you will remember that last year there was a problem about the Southern Airways policy of saying you can only carry 4 people with disabilities on a plane. And more than that is the risk. So we are trying to resolve that question as well. Thank you very much.
I told you most of me earlier, and I was expecting to sleep after the morning.
Yes. I do apologize. I'm so sorry. Yes. On your end, yes.
Of course, yeah. I'm coming back to saying you want to play the... I wanted to do some follow-up with regard to issues raised by Bongani, in particular the sheltered workshop issue. Benny has covered it, but I'm just wanting to say that with his reference to Google Eto and Kavicha, the major problem that I have with that, and I've been there,
is they, those people are left unto themselves to do everything. Marketing is a major problem, and they need that kind of a support. Okay, the Google is the one in actually most of the computers that are there are not in working order at all. I was there and we thought about the possibility of starting an agricultural project, a food garden. We are looking at it at GPSA at this current moment in time, but clearly there is a lot of support from government side that is needed there. In actual those centers will go the same route as the shelter workshops have been before. I do want to say that those shelter or protective workshops that were there were run on a profitable basis for those who own it. You see, they will make profits and put the profits in their pockets. Of course, I'm referring to the one especially in Atlantis, which is a little bit closer to where Comrade Matthews is located. And you will find that the people that are working there are threatened with their grants being cut, etc. In extra they don't get anything that is more than what they would get if they have a grant, a chairperson. So, I mean, those are issues that need to be looked at, and I was thinking perhaps as a DMC, we should visit these workshops, a chairperson. I also want to suggest, Chair, that perhaps we must, as a DMC, consider convening some kind of a workshop in which we invite disabled people to make a presentation around the transport problem that disabled people encounter, a chairperson. Because I, in Elster, where I come from, Comrade Major mentioned, you know, there's a disabled person who's in a wheelchair bound, working in Cape Town. He cannot access the platform without the Metro Rail officers. They know him very well. They have to come down, wait for him at the start of the steps, and carry him and his wheelchair physically up. I can imagine if they are not there, then he is completely stranded there, either on top or down, down there. The platform is quite accessible at the outer of a station. But the Goodwood one is not a chairperson, so that is the kind of issue that makes have now a raise, Chair. And perhaps I think, Chair, I would like to see Lucky Montana coming here, not only accepting the fact that nothing has been done, but telling us what he intends doing about it, chairperson. So I'm talking now about the CEO of Metro Rail, who is managing or providing rail transport in the metro areas. And of course, I think it's important we have had a number of meetings with SAA and other airline providers last year. Somehow it seems to have worked, but I think those people that are providing, I think it's Equity Services, who are providing PAU services, we must get them also into the same room with AXA, chairperson, so that we can thread out these issues. My experience also last time at Cape Town International was the fact that I had to walk to gate number one where the PAU normally arrives at, and I normally ask, a wheelchair, because it's a long stretch, and those the floors are not very disabled friendly, it's very, very slippery. And because of that, I prefer being wheeled to that point, but I have to walk on more than one occasion, because I've been told now, Equity Service, their responsibility starts when SAA delivers you at where the offices are, at the center, at close to gate one. say they don't come and fetch you. Before the gates there, they don't come and fetch you there. So I think we must, as a JMC, strengthen our the OSGPs and by having these kinds of interactions with FAA and the airlines, in particular equity services, chairperson to deal with this issue. I think.
No, thank you very much. I'm wondering if MPs are complaining like this, what about the general, you know, public who are faced with this problem? This is very well. But I'm very interested to this thing of sheltered employment. There is, you know, this report, if I can get a detailed information on this, you know, because I'm sending a committee on labor and we are given, that means we are given around the board. And we need to deal with this particular question. You see? Because there is rosy, very rosy, the report that we are being given. The CEO is giving a very rosy report. And I don't know why government should pay, I'm not attempting to run this institution if this is a mess that is taking place. So I think it's very important that we receive that. I will raise it sharply with the Department of Labor comes to present in our committee. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Over to you, Vinny.
Madam Chair, I think really there were no questions. Mostly it was comments. The report will be available. I just need to consult my colleagues in the Department of Labor and Social Development, and I want us to do a combined report, which will give you the data for this workshop. You can also contact Zane Bulbulia in my office. Mm-hmm. Bulbulia is the project manager for economic empowerment. He's running the project. Thank you.
No other questions, then five members. Very once more, thank you very, very much for your presentation and for answering all the questions that were presented to you. Thank you for your budget. Obviously there are matters that we followed up on the work of the MCC. Then we got the convention. We would like to meet with you and then have an in-depth workshop regarding that convention. Members, the OSGP will be reporting to us again on the 22nd of June. Yes. For consideration for the annual report. I have a problem in that I will not be here, but I will then liaise with the deputy chairperson if he could have and convene that meeting for that day. If not possible, then I will then ask if the come and present with the awards team next week. But I will inform members way in advance regarding that matter. So once again, over to thank you to the awards team for your presentation. And thank you, honourable members, for your presence here and for your feedback and questioning as well. Those who stayed longer with us, thank you as well. Not to forget, members, annual report of the JMC needs to be adopted next week, please. So I hope members will go through that annual report and then before Friday we can maybe give feedback on that report to the committee clerk and then anyway please pass that report that is needed and then behind this to Parliament. In the absence of no more questions, I then declare this meeting closed. Thank you, members. Thank you.